Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're tonight's entertainment.
Take me to the volcano!
It's really called this. You have to ask for the vinegar with the mother in it.
Oh, come on. Quick.
I need, no.
Seriously.
Maybe Bed Bath & Beyond. I don't know. I don't know if we'll have enough time.
But everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
Welcome to Ready to Unload with Cal and Sam. Peak episode number 125, live from Blue Haven, New York City. It is Thursday night. It is 8 p.m. It is time for Ready to Unload with Cal and Sam Peak on January the 24th, 2013. We are live from the back room of Blue Haven, once again doing a live remote. We always do the show live. We're always live. It's not like we don't record it. We stream it. We do it live, but we're on location. Here, Cal, you're here.
I'm
live.
Here. That's right.
Cal.
We're
streaming. We're recording. People are shaking hands. There's a lot of people here. So welcome to Radio Unload with Cal and Sophie. We got a ton to talk about tonight in the world of New York sports. All right. No big deal. Nice. And once again, thanks to Blue Haven here in New York. We're in the back room. If you're in the New York City area, we're going to be chatting for a couple of hours. Come down. Say hi. We are once again privileged, Cal. I would say privileged.
Honored.
Honored, if you will.
Fortunate.
Fortunate, definitely. Definitely. We are CCR here. We are Fortunate Son. I hate that song. I hate that band.
I think that's a discussion for another night.
Yes. Let's thank our sound man from the Yayas, Mr. Jay Mafali. Kefa, Jay, you're back again. Nice, great.
It's my pleasure, boys.
Yes, welcome back. Jay is doing the sound, has us all set up in the back room here. It looks like a pro gig.
There's napkins everywhere. I'm not sure.
I got a banner. Did you guys see the banner? Nice. Look, I got a banner made. There's a banner. JC, you know Arrested Development, right? Look at banner, Michael. Look at banner. You're killing me, Buster. I got a banner made. We're in the back room again. Thanks to Megan. Thanks to Dermot, Rory, here at Blue Haven. If you're in the area, calm down. Hang out. We're going to talk sports for the next 2 hours, Cal.
Why not? We're here. We might as well.
That was exasperated.
Well, I'm saying. We're here.
I know we're here.
What else are we going to do right now? There's microphones in our face.
Last time we did the live remote, you were Typhoid Mary.
I wasn't around. I was quarantined, yeah.
You did not look good.
No.
You were very peaked.
Much better now.
You have a lot better color.
I got
right
a little
now.
Bit of color.
We also have a wardrobe problem. We're going to need to bring in an art director or something because I think you may be wearing the same shirt as the first time we did it.
I am, but they didn't save the tape, so nobody knows.
We're taking pictures.
Yeah, nobody knows.
Everybody's going to know.
I got a haircut.
You did get a haircut.
So it's different.
You look nice.
You have a beard.
I have a ridiculous beard.
You said you were going to get rid of that beard.
I did say I was going to get rid of the beard 2 weeks ago. It was my NHL lockout beard.
Right. I'm watching an NHL game right now.
We are watching.
And you have a beard.
We're here. We should stress again. We're here at Blue Haven. Sponsors the show. There's sports on everywhere. They're having a huge Super Bowl deal. Awesome. Awesome pants. It's at the corner of Houston and Thompson. In the village, or the village, if you're watching When Harry Met Sally, I go to her village. She looked pretty good to me. I love that. I remember watching that movie. Actually, Jay, you'll like, I saw that movie with Jason O'Connell, our old friend Jason O'Connell, in the theater, and we were... Did you see that in the theater, JC? When Harry Met Sally?
Were you old enough?
Yeah, no, that was like ninth grade.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And just when that little guy came out and he's talking about his wife, she looked pretty good to me. So I say to the men, okay. That's how I actually proposed, by the way.
Which that was it. That was it.
At that movie?
At that movie.
Wow.
I was in ninth grade.
Like you know a good
Unbelievable.
Melon.
Unbelievable. Teresa was in Texas.
How did that? Wow.
Very difficult.
That's logistically impossible.
I didn't bring you in. It feels
well,
awkward.
I'm here.
But
so.
It feels awkward.
All right, go ahead.
But we are in the same place.
Right.
So I can't really bring you on stage.
There's no reason
like,
to. I'm
Dino
here.
Style.
Hi, everyone.
Right.
Yeah.
Mr. Brian Calneva, Calpino Caliente.
Thanks.
Brian. We're joined by a lot of people here. My cousin Louise is here. And my cousin, Michelle, up from Nashville, Cal.
Wow.
Haven't seen her. This is no joke. Have not seen this girl in 25 years.
Unbelievable. Welcome.
Welcome. A sect of my family. We call it a sect because it is biblical. Like the way your dad moved down to Nashville, away from the Italians, and changed his name and everything, although he's half Polish. Right. Just the good half. And he moved down to Nashville 30 years ago, Cal, and my dad took us down there on one of those weekend trips.
Okay.
I was 13. It was the first time I was ever on a plane. Went down to Nashville, and I saw Michelle. That's the last time I saw her before tonight. She's a huge fan of the show.
It's nice.
She looks exactly the same. You're not a lot older. I mean, you're 25 years older, which for you, what were you, 9 then? Oh, man. She's low to the ground. Low sense of gravity. She's awesome. She loves the show. Goes crazy. Because she was raised a Met, Jet, and Islander fan in Nashville.
Wow, that must have been tough.
Not an easy gig.
Wow. It's tough in New York. I can't imagine how tough it is in Nashville.
That combo right now might be better in Nashville.
It might be. That's true.
Like you don't have to deal with the deluge. The deluge every day. How are you?
Good. I'm good. I'm here. I'm raring to go.
You look fired up.
I am. I missed the last one.
You don't look at all fired up.
I'm extremely fired up.
Okay.
I missed the last one. I want to get going here. I want to talk sports.
Oh, all right. You have to be a jerk about it.
Well, it's tension on the thing.
You got to be a tough guy.
Talking sports. Let's do it.
Okay. Well, we should talk to PJ. PJ's here.
Oh, right. I forgot him. Hi, PJ.
Hi, Peach. He's been waiting anxiously. His little microphone is red. It's been red for a while. Hi, Peach. Hi, Peach.
Hi, everybody.
Speak up, son.
Up, son, up.
Yes. How are you?
I'm great. I'm a proud father this week.
Okay, I missed the 9 months that preceded this.
No.
That's
a I'm not a new father.
What, did you just adopt one? What are you weeping?
No, proud papa. My daughter got 2 articles in the school newspaper, and we had a parent-teacher conference about my son, and we walked in, and she said, he's a genius, and then we had to leave. It was great.
I bet she says that to all the parents, by the way.
No.
I don't think so.
Did you get the feeling the Pat line?
No.
Genius. Who's not? I got a reservation about 8:15. So Lily, your daughter's doing an expose? What, was it salacious or what?
She does. Well, she camps out in a dumpster with a photographer, and they're doing some investigative reporting. Can't say on who.
She's ready to cover the Jets.
Maybe.
Yeah.
What are they serving in the cafeteria these days?
What you're eating?
Actually,
could kill
actually
you.
One of the articles she did was about the food and the quality of the food at one of their sixth grade socials. It was pretty funny. It was an expose.
You think?
Was it hard hitting?
It was a hard hitting expose about hot dogs and tater tots. And couldn't they have done better?
But was it thought provoking at the same time?
It made me think.
And there you go.
Right. It made you think, like, I can't believe I'm sending my kid to the school.
She's on her way.
Wait till we tell you what they're putting in the tater tots after this.
But first, kickball. Is it torture?
That's great to hear, Peach. I'm very proud of your children.
Congratulations.
As always. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, we're really. You have a big fun load planned for us later, do you not?
We're going to play, a game that has 2 alternate titles. It's either called Who Ruined It or You Suck. I'm not sure which.
All right. And the premise of this fun load is?
Who what actor or actress or athlete will make you just not watch? As soon as you hear their name, even though you were going to go in, hey, I'll look at that, and then you hear this person's name, and you're like, nope, not going there.
Okay. I have a list movie-wise that's like a scroll. Like I'm going to roll out like Santa Claus.
Like credits. Like closing.
Jot them down.
It is just going to roll down. All right, Peach, we'll talk to you in a bit. We're going to go. Oh, wait. No, I got to do this.
Yeah.
I got to do this. So my cousin, Michelle, had said to me, you know, I'm going to be at the show. I have a gift for Wesley that is the most wildly inappropriate, not sexual, inappropriate gift I could possibly get.
Wait a minute, he's two.
He's two.
What could be?
No,
what
not
could be inappropriate for a two-year-old?
Right, exactly. She was saying that it was inappropriate in general.
Okay.
And don't think anything lascivious.
No, I know. I'm looking at it, so I'm just selling the whole.
So I got Peach. I got this gift, and I'm going to hold this up to the audience here. This is the most magnificent thing I've ever seen. It is a. I'm just going to read it. By Right Light. Right Light makes this. We should give them a plug because we could use a sponsor. Passover 10 Plagues Finger Puppets. Okay. There will be a picture of this up accompanying the episode, Peach. So there's 10 finger puppets here that represent the 10 plagues.
Fun and educational.
It's fun and educational. It says so right here.
It says it right there.
And
that's adorable.
It's got to be 3 and up. I mean, you don't want, you know, a 2-year-old to get a hold of this when they really don't understand the plagues. You know, it's really at 3 when you grasp the punishment that is coming.
Yeah. Well, that's when my kids started asking me about the plague.
Right. So let me read through here. We have the finger puppet that's Boyles.
Sure.
Looks a lot like the Purdue Boilermaker mascot, does it not? Looks a lot like... we have Hale, which is, for some reason, looks like a Rankin Bass sort of, right? Like, that's like a heat miser kind of looking guy. Yeah. He looks claymation. Darkness.
It's scary.
Darkness is just a black puppet with a downturned face.
With a frown.
I can't even describe to you how magnificent this is. Wildly inappropriate, it has a child that is no longer with us that says firstborn. Peach, not making this up. And then, inexplicably, there's a lion with no title. Like, it has every plague. There's lice. There's hogs.
Right.
That's the plague of the jungle. That's what that one
That's
is.
The jungle plague?
Right.
There will be lice.
Didn't Rudyard Kipling write that, the jungle plague?
Okay, that was wild. That was wild stuff. PG, okay?
I'm great. What happened?
I guess that's the plague.
We made fun of the lion.
Well, there you go. Wow.
Did we lose power?
No. I think we had some sort of static situation with the netbook. But it doesn't matter because I was talking about the lion plague. And that... Okay, I'm putting this thing down.
You better put that down because I felt that one.
this thing is powerful. Okay, thank you for that. I think. Wow.
No, that's good.
Yeah, how come is there an archaeologist that comes with that? Is it? Who do we have working on that, JC? Top men. That's the Ark of the Covenant. That thing. It may be. Wow. Okay.
Does that hurt your hands?
Yes. I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for Belloc to, like, melt and his face melt up. Anyway, thank you. That's a lovely gift. If anybody,
I think you might want to get that blessed or sprinkle some holy water on it before you bring it in the house.
Should it be smoking?
Right. Why is my chair spinning around? Okay.
Right.
Peach, anyway, I'll send you a picture of this thing. It's magnificent.
I can't wait to see it. And your cousin's going to have to tell me where to get one for my kids.
Right. We will let everybody know where you can pick one of these up. The Jews.
I want to be the first on my block to have one.
I wonder what that could be. The Jews in the audience are also smacking the microphone.
Oh, man.
Fire. I don't.
That's right. Right. My buddy JC said they do run the media, even podcasts. I didn't even know it went to our little podcast.
Everything. If there's a microphone.
Right. All right, Peach, we'll talk to you in a bit.
Very good.
Yes. Okay, so let's talk about the sports type stuff.
Okay.
Well, we were off last week because we were supposed to do a show on Friday night and I had a work meltdown.
Right.
Still gainfully employed.
It worked out.
Yeah, not great.
It was like a Corey Feldman movie.
It worked.
The way that it worked out.
It did work out, you like know? A Corey Feldman. Oh, I left it at the other place.
There was a... yeah.
And Corey Haim was there.
Right. Lasted all night.
It did last all night.
Drunk kids in a car.
I had 14 hours of absolute work misery. So we had to cancel the show. But we're back. In that time, we were going to talk about... That night, it was good to do so. We were going to talk about Manti Te'o. But we're not going to talk about that. I mean, maybe later. Maybe I know JC has something to say about that. Yeah. Maybe should we bring him in?
Yes.
Should we bring him? Let's welcome in.
I think we should just do this now.
Let's get it out of the way.
Right.
Before we talk about the Jets and the Mets and the
Topical.
Islanders and the Rangers and the Knicks and the I sound like Piscopo now. And the Knicks and the Hawks and the Bucks. Chico Escuela. Let's welcome into the microphone and to the program, buddy of ours, JC. JC, hi.
Thank you, guys.
What's
up, it's good to be here.
So give me your take. First of all, Cal, must preface, JC is a huge Hartford Whaler fan.
The Whale.
You were at the Ranger game the other night?
I was actually at the game last night. I hate hockey since the Whalers left Hartford, but I hate the Bruins even more, so I was there purely for spite last night.
Good.
Nice. Nothing like attending a sporting event just for spite.
That's always acceptable.
Yeah.
Most of the things I do in my life are just for spite.
So give me your, we should preface JC, a big Yankee fan.
Big Yankee fan.
Huge Yankee fan, okay. Good ball player.
I mean, I'm not that big.
You're slim.
Physically,
you're
know.
A slim guy. Went to Michigan?
I did. In fact, earlier this year I was out in South Bend for the Michigan-Notre Dame game, and the big news, everybody was wearing their Leos for Teos or whatever. You know, he had lost his grandmother. He had lost his imaginary girlfriend.
Right.
At the time.
We didn't know that at the
time.
No. Didn't know that at the time.
No, all I know was he played like, you know, one fired up Hawaiian that day and broke my soul.
Right.
You know? So I hate his imaginary dead girlfriend for that.
Right. So what do you make of this story? I mean, what's...
Look.
There's a million ways to go with it, but just give me a quick...
Who among us hasn't fallen for an imaginary Polynesian girl online?
With a guy's voice.
You know.
Because that came out today.
You know.
Like, apparently it was this Teresa Sisopo, you know, the whole time.
Again, as I say, if you haven't fallen for an imaginary Polynesian girl online, you haven't lived.
No, that's true. Do you think it hurts his draft status?
I think his performance against Alabama hurt his draft status, but I think people are actually getting to be sympathetic to him. They think he got conned, and maybe he admitted he lied a little bit about it because he was embarrassed.
Right. So it's starting to swing back around.
But I think it may also help explain his Alabama performance, that he was kind of at sea, and whether that's good or bad, I don't know, because, you know, now a team has to worry, okay, every time an imaginary online girl dies on him, is he going to have a bad game?
Right.
You know.
Is it, and you could tell a lot about a guy's character when his imaginary online hoax girlfriend dies on him.
You know, the fact that he didn't go to the imaginary funeral.
How do you step up?
Do you think the team that drafts him will just take his computer away from him and won't allow him to go online?
Well, have you seen there's all these stories now about all these NFL guys with their, like, imaginary, like...
Oh, everybody's got one.
Yeah. It's like the thing. It's like it's like having a Kardashian.
Right.
You know? It's like... The NBA has Kardashians, the NFL has imaginary
Polynesian girlfriends.
Yeah.
Except with a Kardashian, you actually have to, like, physically be around them, which is torturous enough.
Yeah.
Like,
well, no, physically being around them is fine. It's emotionally and mentally being around them that's the
true.
Problem.
Or listening to them.
In fact, I think several of the plagues may be reflected
in the
Kardashian lineage.
They might be
the lion.
Right.
I don't know.
Let's talk about the lion again. Last thing on Manti Te'o, and then I want to get I have a quick question for you about the Yankees. Because we don't have a lot of Yankee guys on the show or whatever. We used to, but I'm not bitter. It's fine.
Probably a reason for it.
But the last thing on this, obviously, like you said, it's starting to swing back, like, sentiment-wise.
at what point, is it during the NFL combines or whatever, that we get the full story, or do we ever get the full story?
I think we know the full story. I think
you
we
think
do.
It's accepted?
I think he was scammed by this guy. You know, he's a naive.
Does he know him?
Does he know?
There's reports that he knew before.
He may have, but I don't think he was part of the genesis of the hoax. I think he perpetuated it once he found out because he didn't know what to do because he's a 22-year-old kid and, you know, in a very public and embarrassing way.
But did he perpetuate it because of the Heisman Trophy or because he was embarrassed?
I think probably because he was embarrassed.
Okay.
I mean, look, it's hard to put yourself in the head of a 22-year-old Hawaiian Mormon Heisman Trophy candidate if you haven't, if you haven't been there.
All.
There's only two of them.
But I think it was mostly embarrassment. But look, there are teammates of his who've said he enjoyed the attention that it brought, so maybe it was some of that too.
Well, he's on Katie Couric, so.
I think the one thing that I saw that was like really just set it all for me was when everything is breaking, somebody released an online video of the pep rally before the Michigan game.
Yeah, I remember.
When supposedly a number of his teammates already knew that she didn't exist. Or, you know, it was not talked about, but we were like, who's your online girlfriend? Like, enough.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing the pep rally, and they're giving out lays, and people are clapping and going crazy and starting the chant, and the AD or whoever's leading the pep rally is like, let's bring Mance out of here. You know, he's been so inspirational. And his teammates are in the back, JC, like, oh, my goodness.
But you know they won that game. They won every other game, so.
Well,
you know,
not every other game.
Put it this way. I wish that some of Michigan's guys would have imaginary online Polynesian girlfriends.
Look, put it in. I'm sure there's
maybe
room.
The Jets. Maybe Sanchez could use an online imaginary Polynesian
Sanchez
girlfriend.
Sanchez could use something.
Yeah.
Imaginary.
Or real. Real
like,
would be good.
Like confidence. We can wait in 2 weeks.
We get the Victors, maybe? Or
no.
Brass Bonanza? How about the Whalers?
So with the Yankees.
Yeah.
One question on the Yankees. Are you people on austerity? What's happening over there? You're not going to sign anybody?
Look, we're
like $2 trillion for Ichiro? Really?
There's a financial crisis. You can't just be spending money willy-nilly on the Kevin Browns of the world anymore.
Do
you
think
this is
fiscal responsibility?
I think they're just out of ideas.
Right. Okay.
I don't know what to say. It's been a really.
You think Brian Cashman's just scratching his head?
I think he doesn't know what to do when
right.
Georgie's not around telling him what to do.
That's fair. All right, we'll come back later.
All right.
For the Ruinous stuff, JC, yeah. Our buddy. He's a lawyer. He knows a lot about the law.
It's good to know.
He also JC and I played baseball together, so we go back 5-6 years.
Oh, okay.
In fact, JC got the winning hit. Drove in the winning run in our one championship season.
Hey, all right.
And who had the big play in that inning? A bunt. That's right. Sam Pete bunted. That's right. Everybody was playing back. It was not a full swing. Terrible. That's a terrible job by you. I bunted on purpose for a hit. And it worked. I went all Tom Berenger. I went all Jake Taylor and bunted for a hit.
You never did that. Ever.
This is from a guy who pulls his back leg out, flails at the ball, and hits, which is how he took every swing.
Well,
he got the base hit, though.
If won it
the
works. Game.
He won the game. You went Luis Gonzalez on that base hit. That was definitely a Luis Gonzalez base hit. But hey, our championship. We actually won a championship in the last at bat, coming from behind in the last inning. And JC had a walk-off.
Unbelievable.
A little believable.
Why was it? No, I mean, like, it was exciting.
We were the better team.
Oh.
All right. We haven't been able to talk in 2 weeks. We have Jets stuff to do. We have Mets stuff to do. Do you want to start with the Jets? Do you want to go to the Knicks and then go back to the Jets?
Whatever you like.
All right, fine. Big unload, okay? Brought to you by Blue Haven. We're sitting here. Usually I do a nice big online read. I'm just going to say this. But we're here. Megan's here.
You can still say something nice about the bar. I mean, we're
Why
here.
Why don't you do it?
I don't do it every week, so
I don't have it
memorized.
Okay, the Big Unload is brought to you by Blue Haven NYC, Blue Haven Sports Bar in Greenwich Village on the corner of Houston and Thompson. And the big news is obviously the Super Bowl is coming up in 2 weeks. It's on February 3rd, Sunday, February 3rd. There's like a nice insignia on the window here. It's very, very cool. Who did that, Megan? Matt, Oh, wow. Chalk Talk. Let's give a little promo. Chalk Talk. Jay, you have that number? Let's get the number up. This is turning into a Jerry Lewis telethon. Let's post that number up again.
But I'm going to have to read it backwards because it's written 347-807-3378.
3378, the number to call. Make a donation. Our people are waiting for you now.
Let's go to the board.
Let's go to the tote board. See what we... Rosen Gardens, what do we have?
We're actually going to need another $3,000 before we can get to the next part of the show. So that we only need like two people to call in for $1,500 each.
Great.
And that way we could bring us into the next, right before the news starts up.
And now the end is near. I need to have the lozenge in, like Jerry Lewis always had the...
Right.
I did it
and
my
way. And the bow tie hanging around your neck.
Right. Which was never done.
No. He looked like he was beat up by that point.
Like
he had been mugged.
He got out of him.
The tie and the jacket is all.
Jerry Lewis. That's not right.
It's his telethon. You can't do that.
Can we raise money for Jerry Lewis?
Oh, boy.
Anyway, the Super Bowl here at Blue Haven. There's a huge screen. How big is the screen?
7 feet.
That's a long screen. The game will be on here. They'll have all kinds of specials. The food is great. The beer is great. There's a ton of beer. How many beers on tap? 16 beers on tap. Just quick. I may try all 16 tonight. But the beers are on tap are great. There's going to be specials. There's going to be a lot of people watching the game. I'm sure you guys have a box pool.
Yes. No.
Right. There's no box pool here. Megan doesn't know what I'm talking about. And the show's about to end. So, can I? It's every time you touch your iPod.
Stop.
Your iPad. It's your iPad.
I'll put it away.
You don't have to put it away.
I'll put it away.
Why are we a married couple? He doesn't like
Go
me.
Go on.
He doesn't like me in this shirt. Okay, so anyway, the Big Unload brought to you by Blue Haven. We are here. We are live. BS for a while. Matt is here. Keith is here.
I know. Keith.
Keith is here. I love Keith Wilson. Love you.
Love you.
Mean it. BJ just played the Odd Couple of music.
I usually get to see Keith twice a year.
Right, at our fantasy draft.
Right.
That's correct.
So this is like a bonus Keith experience.
Asking him never to return. Jay's eating a hamburger nice. How's that burger nice?
A spoon. That is a ladle, you ignoramus.
Now it's garbage. okay, so Big Unload, to me, is the Jets. Has to be the Jets. They hired their GM.
It's a new dawn. It's a new day.
The sun will come out. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow
it's a new life for me. Yeah, it's a new dawn.
He said he had some special music for the Jets offseason.
Tomorrow,
and I'm feeling good.
I don't know. We suddenly turned into the Golden Globes here. This is Ready to Unload. And then they're announcing Best Picture.
Right, and then a montage of everything.
Right, this is where Adrian Brody is like two friends from New York who started a podcast. This is nominee for Best Podcast. This is Ready to Unload. And then
I don't do sound clips. I do sound montages.
That was a montage.
You do soundscapes.
I do soundscapes. Thank you for noticing my art.
You're not so much, you're more of a production stylist.
It was a message of hope.
Thank you, Robert Plant. This is a song of hope. Did you ever notice how every Led Zeppelin song live was a song of hope?
Every one of them.
No matter what it was.
Well,
I have a recording of them from like 74 and down. This is a song of hope.
This is a song that we hope we finish this gig alive.
This is a song
it's a new dawn,
about the Pope.
It's a new day.
It's called In My Time of Dying.
Playing it again.
He's playing it again. Look, they hired a GM today. Let me get your... I know you don't do impressions. Let me get your impressions of the new GM of the Jets, John Idzik.
John Idzik. King from Seattle. Idzik.
Yeah. I love it.
Okay.
Look, I said to you that this is how it was going to go down. When the Jets made the hire for the GM, it was going to go this way. The media is going to make fun of it.
Check.
And criticize it.
Yes.
Jet fans, the majority are going to hate it.
Pretty much.
And going to be upset about it. And there was going to be only the Jets. LOL Jets.
Same old Jets.
Same old Jets.
Right. They hired another bean counter.
Right. That. So we have that. Check.
Right. And then what were you going to do?
I was going to talk myself into it by Monday.
And it's
check.
A lot quicker than Monday, I'd have
right.
to say.
I am now convinced that it was the right hire. What did you make of his press conference? I know you didn't see it, but you saw the highlights. You saw the clips. The amazing thing to me was, by the time the spin cycle for the Jets took place, it was a terrible hire. While the press conference was going on, like on Twitter and stuff, it was a great hire. He really handles himself well. He handled the Revis questions well. All this stuff. And now all of a sudden, he's not... By 6 o'clock, it was a joke.
Well, talk about the last line of the press conference, because I didn't hear the press conference, but he had the greatest line that any new...
Yeah, this was great. He
you know,
he
new
had,
person coming into New York has ever
he
done.
He had what somebody on Twitter, our buddy Joe Caparoso on TurnOnTheJets.com, had a, called the drop the mic moment from, like, Coming to America, where he was just like, sexual chocolate! Where the question was, I was watching the presser. The question was, how do you deal with the perception? There's a lot of perception that you are only a cap specialist and that your experience is only with the cap, blah, blah, blah. And how do you deal with that? And he went, again, we're using this word, I'm paraphrasing, but again, we're using this word perception. I think there's a lot of misperceptions out there. But, you know, you New York journalists are among the most resourceful in the world. If you want to find out about my past, there's plenty of people to ask. And they'll tell you my experience in personnel. And it was like, he was like,
yeah.
Sexual chocolate!
Like, oh, snap.
It was all snap.
Wow.
Like, in that one moment.
He should have just walked off at that point.
He did, basically. It was the last question. So it was the last question he took, and he was just like, he was trying to also leave it on a good note. So you're still seeing the press conference, and he, like, waves to the guys. He's like, okay, guys, we'll talk to you soon. Here was the weird thing. Woody Johnson and Rex Ryan talked to the media after he spoke. So all the spin cycle negative for the Jets, the negative narrative for the Jets, happened after.
When they spoke.
That's right.
Okay.
And then it was Woody... with Revis, and of course we should address that, right? Like, what do you make of the rumor that Darrell Revis, that Woody Johnson wants to trade Darrell Revis?
Honestly, I don't have a problem if they want to trade him. What I don't like, there's two things I don't like about it. Number one, is that Revis was a little sensitive about it.
He was very sensitive about it.
You know, be a pro.
Right.
And just deal with it.
Darrell,
you know,
Revis' response was, well, that's upsetting, basically.
Right. Anybody's been traded.
Right.
You know, he's not above being traded.
But Brian, how does this start when but it comes from the owner?
Well, that's the second thing. That's the second problem I have with it, is that he denied knowing where it started.
Right.
He had no idea. I don't know how that started. He's protesting too much. Lately, when spoken to.
Can we do this?
And I don't believe him.
Can we do this? Can we, like, after today, so he introduced the GM, okay? I think it's a good hire. I really do.
I do, too. I think it's a good hire because it's very un-Jet-like.
Exactly. They went through a very thorough process. They obviously investigated all the candidates very thoroughly. I mean, it wasn't a situation, like, he answered that question beautifully, too, Brian. The question was, we can't give the job away. Like, there's a perception.
Like, nobody wanted this
right.
job.
Jay Glazer reported that we and Mike Florio reported that nobody wants this job. How do you respond to that? And he goes, look, there's a lot of perceptions out there that I don't care about. Everybody in this building wanted me, and I wanted all of them. So whatever. Whatever you guys want to do. His whole response in a very professional business-type sense was, whatever. Whatever you guys want to do. Knock yourself out. They asked him about the circus mentality, the dysfunction, all that stuff. And he was like, okay.
Good.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
But is he a nerd?
He's a nerd.
Okay.
He's a complete tool.
That's all right. That's
yeah.
all right.
He had the audacity to thank his family.
Yeah, that was some of the comments that struck me about that was that he was thanking his... That was the
Bray, I love you. I love you. Now you're our waitress. Great. Magnificent. just keeps bringing me those beverages.
She knows.
She
knows, doesn't
she? And I also know my wife's not listening.
What? The one night she listened, you were going to get burned.
As my iPad lights up, my phone lights up. I don't want to FaceTime with you right now. No, but go on. You were saying.
I don't know what I was saying. What was I saying?
You were saying about Idzik and...
Oh, the thing that struck me was that the negative comments about him was that he opened with talking about his family.
Right. Like, that could be a bad thing.
Like, it was almost like they were just ready to jump on him with the criticism. It was all queued up and ready to go. And
look, this... There was a great article I read last week from, I want to talk about, from Connor or at the Star Ledger about Marty Morningweg being hired and the new offense for the Jets and stuff. Like, that's the stuff I want to talk about. But it's like Pacino in Godfather 3, like the oldest cliché, they're pulling me back in. The media keeps pulling me back in. And that's something else I wanted to talk to you tonight about, which was Twitter. I have a Twitter problem.
What kind of problem?
I need to stop.
Stop what? Stop reading it? Stop posting?
Stop
interacting?
I need to stop checking it. I need to stop, not even the interaction, because I stop myself for the interaction. Look, we've talked about it before on the show. Twitter has changed the way you watch sports. It's not the naked pictures, Matt. Thanks, though, for bringing that up. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. It's the Anthony Wieners. That's the problem.
Hey. We're not supposed to talk blue.
I'm sorry. No, my problem was, or is becoming, I check it too often. I'm on it too much. When I first got on Twitter, it was like a nice little additional thing to following sports. Now it's all I do. Like every day, like I'm on it too much. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm on it way too much.
Can I tell you what I did?
Please.
This might help you.
I'm asking for help.
I'm gonna give you some help.
This is a cry for help. Hey, this is folks outside saying hello. Cold. Very cold. Yes. People outside are mouthing to us how cold it is. Come inside.
Come on
in.
It's warm in here.
The burger's nice. Hey, you know what I mean? It's no big deal. Have a brandy snifter. I'm sure there's snifters back there.
I can't read lips. What are they saying?
I don't know. It's filthy, though.
Well, then.
There's folks passing us by at Blue Haven saying hello because we're in the big window. We're in a fishbowl. It's all right. Thank you.
I don't know what she just said.
I don't know. She said something about Mark Sanchez and the West Coast offense. I don't know how she knew we were talking about that.
No. What she was telling you was that when you go on Twitter, this is what I did.
She's good.
She's really good. She knew exactly what you were talking about.
We're talking about like a 57-year-old woman, by the way, who's freezing her womanhood off.
Basically what I've done... is I have... Because what?
Her womanhood. What am I going to say? Her...
Wow.
What am I looking for? The Italian word. Her lady parts. Thank you. This reminds me of my grandmother with a lady friend. Right. Stephen, do you have a lady friend? Is there someone you're seeing nice?
Are you courting someone?
Are you courting someone nice? I have a number of lady friends, Grandma. I try to, you know... Listen to me, Irene. Don't... Pin me down.
Is it serious?
Is she Italian?
Yes.
Because it would be better.
Do
just
we
saying.
Think that she's the one?
Right. That was like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know when I got the she's the one.
Yeah.
That was far in.
Well, how far?
That was like a couple of months of dating where it had to be like,
that's not that
are
far.
We going to be hearing the wedding? I don't know why I made her Jewish either. Like it's an Italian grandmother on Long Island. They're all interchangeable.
They're very similar. So anyway, so listen, this is what I did. I stopped following
Twitter.
All of the negative beat writers. I started with the bloggers that were negative. And then I started one by one. I started deleting all of the and we have gone over the names on this show.
We have discussed.
We've called
people.
Them out by name. And I've just deleted them. I've just stopped following them.
I don't. You know what? I made a rule literally today, and today was the worst day to try this.
I'm going to tell you why I did that too. But go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I was going to say because of the press conference. This was the worst day to attempt the first day of this.
Right.
Three times a day. That's all I get. I get the morning. I get lunch, and I get after work. That's
okay.
That's it. If something goes down that, and you know what ruined Twitter for me in this way? I found out about Osama bin Laden on being killed on Twitter. And that's what I had just like started with Twitter. I wasn't really into it. I was up at like 3:30 in the morning because Wesley was awake, and like I had the little guy, and like I went to like the bathroom and checked Twitter, and they got Osama bin Laden, and I was like on the ground floor. I felt like,
yeah, but guess what? If you had been watching the Met Philly game earlier that night, that's how you would have known.
I was watching. Oh, I was. I didn't watch the game that night.
You didn't watch the game that night.
That's right.
When they all started chanting USA in Philadelphia.
Right.
They put it up on the scoreboard. And so this is my point. That was perfect. Because my point is you don't need the beat writers to get you the news that you need.
Right.
Because the bloggers that you follow that are positive and intelligent and are like-minded are going to give you that news anyway.
You're right.
Right? A guy, I'm not going to say the names, but a beat writer that's negative all the time, that's pushing his negative narrative, right? And he's posting news skewed in the negative way, you're going to get that news somewhere else.
Yeah.
So he's not providing you any content.
No, you're right. You're right. And so we've had these guys, the bloggers, we've had them on the show. Like, that's what we're trying to
make. Right. Exactly. And that's kind of where it's
heading.
That's
all I need to follow, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
There is something still, though.
You're not going to miss anything. I know you are deathly afraid of missing something. You're not.
Sorry, my life.
You are not going to miss it.
My mother is somewhere nodding her head furiously. Yes, since he's two. That's why he used to pass out on the floor. Like, he would run and run and run until he passed out on the floor. Because heavens forbid he missed something. And Wesley's
well,
the same way.
Obviously.
Wesley's the same way. Like, just waiting for, like... he waits for me tonight to, like, be stop, like, to just stop doing everything. Like, okay, I can go to bed now. Probably nothing cool is going to go down.
Right.
I don't know. Dad may start dancing. Maybe that happens. I can't go to sleep yet. So, yes, I need to pare down who I follow.
It's the only way to be okay with this.
But yet I'll say this, and then I really want to move on to the hiring itself, and then to the Knicks and the Islanders and the Rangers and the Mets. It's still pretty fascinating to follow a live event like a press conference, like that introductory press conference today, on Twitter.
Yes.
It's like I'm watching it live, streaming on the Jets website. You okay there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't have a cough button.
We need a cough button. Jay, is that in the budget? You just turned your mic down. That's it. You're out. When you're watching a live event, you're just recently on Twitter, right, JC? So you're not, you, Michelle, you're not on Twitter a little bit. Keith's not even on Facebook. Keith like still like sends up smoke signals. Hey, you want to hang out Tuesday night?
Sends a note.
Right. He sends a carrier pigeon. Hey, you want to, like, we should get together. Go see the Radiators.
Why is he calling me? Who calls now?
Calls now. Like, when I text Keith, he gets upset. And what, you can't call me? You can't take the 2 minutes? You're not a text guy.
He is a gorilla texter. All right.
Well, I have talk to text on the iPhone.
It works.
Changed my life. Matt's not on Twitter. But if you're on Twitter and you watch a live event, Megan, it's super cool for, like, the Golden Globes. Like, I follow, like... I've told you this before. Like, if you watch an award ceremony like that, and, like, I follow, like, Steve Martin and Patton Oswalt and, like, all these very funny people who are watching the Golden Globes at the same time, it's hilarious. It's magnificent. Because they're commenting on... You're getting to see, like, a comedic genius like Steve Martin comment in live time. You know, like, when Jodie Foster made her speech, her, like, banana speech, like, Twitter blew up. It was crazy. The comedians were, like, tripping over each other to try to, like, make a joke or whatever.
But that's part of the problem, is that you get the same thing 20 times at once. Because everybody...
But you get, like, Jeffrey Ross's take on it was different
than...
Well,
comedians are different. If you're following a press conference and you've got 12 beat writers in the room...
But that's the cool thing. You see who is really going to push the negative narrative, specifically with the Jets. Like, I still follow all the beat writers. So you see who's like, oh, I see how I can spin this.
Right.
They're all reporting on the same exact thing.
That's true. And you see the same piece of information 12 different ways.
That's right. Exactly. Okay. Based on who has to sell a newspaper.
All right.
You know, like Samini's tweet about a certain statement is different than Kim Martin's tweet, who covers the Jets for Newsday, but it's the same statement. Like, the guy just made the same statement. It's like instant spin.
Right.
It's spinstant.
Spinstant.
Trademark that. PJ, trademark that. Peach. Peach, please jump. We have,
well, it's a good, it's
you
a good
do
IP
stuff,
lawyer.
Don't you, JC? Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. We have a lawyer here. Trademark that. Spinstant.
Can I just, as a quick aside, since we're talking about trademarking, and it's sports related.
Make it a long rambling aside.
No. We're not going to do that. Colin Kaepernick is trying to trademark his name. Kaepernick. Kaepernicking.
Like T-Bowing?
Yes. So when he scored the other day against Atlanta and he flexed his bicep,
that
maneuver of flexing your bicep, he's trying to trademark as Kaepernicking.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah, 6 games in the NFL, and that's what he's worried about. That's
Super Bowl.
Good.
This is why, and I have to give all credit to Simmons. I'm sure you read that or heard it on the podcast. He said it 3 weeks ago. He said, we may be looking at the live Willie Beeman. He is. Kaepernick is Willie Beeman from Any Given Sunday. He's played like 5 games, and he's a huge star, and he's got tattoos, and he doesn't look like what he's supposed to for a quarterback, and he doesn't play the position in a traditional manner.
Yeah.
He's got a coach who's a little uptight.
He's like an alternative quarterback.
He is like an alt quarterback.
And people don't like that.
That's right.
They're scared of him.
He would be doing stand-up at Largo. Like, he's an alt quarterback.
He frightens people.
He does.
He goes against the machine.
He does. We're not going to talk about the Super Bowl this week. We're
no,
not
next week
it.
We'll talk about it. But I thought of that.
No. Absolutely.
I had heard it today. He's right. He's trying to
trademark Kaepernicking. Good for him.
It's a mouthful. Kaepernicking.
It doesn't roll as much as T-Bowing.
No.
Like, T-Bowing rolls. As much as I hate it, T-Bowing rolls.
Yeah, let's hope it rolls right out of here.
That's right.
Am I right about that?
Hey-oh.
Oh, boy.
You can catch Cal at the Tropicana
Largo.
And Laughs a Lot in Omaha. That's a good room. Jay, have you ever played that room?
No, I have not. I did do the Belly Chuckles.
Belly Chuckles.
I was there. And
there's got to be a website for, like, the worst comedy club name.
Giggle Till You Have Gas.
Right.
I killed in that room.
Piss yourself. In Fort Lauderdale. like every stand-up, I'd be like, yeah, I'm playing peed all over the place. Laugh till you piss. In Des Moines. It's a good room. It's a nice room.
Catch the early show, though.
You catch the early show. The late show is a mess. Okay, so last thing on the Jet hire. I love the Morning Wig hire.
You didn't. You've come around.
I didn't at first. What'd I tell you? Talked myself into it.
Why do you love it?
This is why. I'll tell you in a second. This is why we're This is why we're fans. Michelle, you know this because your dad has done it for 50 years. Michelle's dad, my sort of uncle, cousin, but cause uncle, is
trademark
a huge
that
trademark that.
JC, I'm so glad you came tonight.
My goodness,
we are gonna get rich. My cause uncle. Trademark. No, but he's a huge Met, Jet, and Islander fan for 100 years. And this is what we do when you root for the lesser team. You have this magical way of talking yourself into whatever decisions they make or whatever things go wrong. I've talked myself into.
Because quite honestly, you have nothing else at this point.
Wait till we talk about the Mets. I have talked myself into the Mets. Because I have nothing. Because when you're a Met, Jet, and Islander fan, you have nothing.
Tell me how you think Mark Sanchez is going to work with Marty Morningwig.
Okay, that's a great question.
I know, that's why I'm asking.
So, I know that, Steve.
You told me to ask it.
We are a really old married couple tonight.
You told me. Here, say this.
This is what... This is what happens when we get together live, apparently, now.
Oh,
once
boy.
A month, we will be a ridiculous old married couple. You wearing that shirt again?
I think I like the Skype better.
You going to fix your hair, maybe? I don't know. You used to fix your hair when we used to do the show.
You smell.
And it's not good.
Tell me why.
Connor Orr for the Star Ledger wrote a great piece about what Marty Mordenwig has run, how his West Coast offense works. He actually did a little legwork and interviewed the quarterback's coach for the Detroit Lions when Mordenwig was coach there, how his West Coast offense works. Okay, so you take that piece and then you combine it with what Joe Caparoso and the boys did at Turn on the Jets, explaining the nuances of the West Coast offense, what it's supposed to mean, and then you plug Mark Sanchez into that, knowing that Mark Sanchez has contacted Jeff Garcia. He's going to go to Jeff Garcia's camp.
Did he contact him?
Yes, he did.
Oh, okay.
Daily News had that yesterday.
Because I heard the plea from Jeff Garcia over
the
weekend.
That was after he contacted him.
Oh, okay, good.
Right, so Sanchez contacts Jeff Garcia, who runs the former NFL quarterback, runs a passing camp for the West Coast offense.
Yes.
This is short of Drew Brees, this is the best guy to teach Sanchez because they have a very similar skill set. Okay, they're mobile, they're short. Jeff Garcia is considerably shorter than Mark Sanchez. This is a good place for him to go and learn.
Well, he did run it in college.
And he ran it at USC. And the great thing about the West Coast offense is its simplification. It's three, and like Mordenwig says, if you can count to three, you can run it. Pretty sure Mark Sanchez can count to three. I'm not after last season.
No, I'm sure he can count to three.
So it's an offense that he's comfortable with. Look, they're going to have to keep Mark Sanchez. I think this was the smartest offensive coordinator they could bring in to do so.
Here's the problem, though. You heard the reaction to Mark Sanchez at the end of this season. The fan base.
I don't care, though.
I'm just saying. Sometimes it's very difficult to bring somebody back that is that toxic to the fan base.
I agree, but he's not going to be traded because they can't.
No, I agree.
He's not going to be cut. So you know what? The fan base is just going to have to live with it. And as long as they bring in a veteran to compete with him, the fan base will accept it. If he wins the job in training camp, which he's going to have to for the first time in his career, I think they will accept him as the starting quarterback. If he plays his way to the job, which he's never done.
But I don't know if he's going to get the benefit of the doubt anymore. I don't think when he goes out there for the first game of the season.
But what's the biggest complaint, though, with Jeff?
They're
going
to boo him.
The biggest one of the biggest complaints with Mark Sanchez, aside from the sucking.
He's never had competition.
Is he's never had competition, and he's never had to work for his job. If he is in an honest competition, which is something that the GM talked about a ton today, the only way we get better is by competition at every position. I think the fan base accepts him if he wins the job on a legitimate basis.
I hope you're right. I'm skeptical. I've seen the way this town turns on people, though.
That's why I like Mordenwig, though, as a hire.
All right.
And the other thing is, Rex Ryan said, he's not my buddy, so we'll call him Rex Ryan until he comes on the show. He'd come down here. Rex had come down here in a heartbeat. He would love this. Just sitting here drinking beers, hanging out with us, probably flipping people off like he'd have a party with this. Rex Ryan said, I'm going to change the philosophy of the offense. I need it to reflect who I am as a coach. It needs to be aggressive, and it needs to be in 2012 or 13. And he did that. He hired a guy who's going to do that. His track record speaks for itself. So I love that hire.
Yeah, I'm on board with that hire, and I'm on board with the Idzik hire.
Do you trade Revis?
No.
Do you trade Cromartie?
Yes.
And scene. Good night, everybody. We figured it all out right here on RTU. No, we said it weeks ago with Joe Cap when we had Joe Caparoso in this chair, in your chair. He was sitting in your chair.
I feel like I'm sitting in his chair.
No. It was your chair first.
Yeah, but...
You trade Cromartie. That frees up $8 million as opposed to Revis freeing up $1 million.
Right, and Revis is going to command a higher salary long term, obviously.
But you keep the guys that you build around the guys that you draft.
And I don't know who it was. One of the guys from Turn on the Jets talked about this. You're coming off such a horrible season with the Jets. And you, this is the first thing this guy, John Idzik, is going to do is going to go trade the best cornerback in the history of the NFL.
Look, here's what I'm going to do, folks. Okay? I'm keeping Sanchez. He's my guy. And that Revis guy, maybe the best ever to play the position, let's get him out of here. You guys love me, right?
I for sure like his hand in his pants, like he's sitting on the couch.
Yep, that's what we're doing. I just gave Rex a lifetime contract. Who wants it? No, yeah, you can't walk in and trade the whole
I feel like that would, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of making moves just to appease the fans and not create a PR fiasco, but this one, I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure the fan base would come from this.
That wouldn't be good. All right, enough with the Jets. I mean, the Super Bowl's in 2 weeks. The Jets are done.
This might be it for the Jets now until March.
It's never it with the Jets, though, Brian. We've said this for like 7 episodes.
Right.
Like every week, it's like, oh, that's it. What'd they do? What's that now? Wait, I'm sorry. What's that? Hold on. I'm getting word, Bri, that they gave a press conference without their pants on. What's that? I'm just, oh, okay. We're going to have to talk about that. What's that? A fake girlfriend online for Rex Ryan, too? Is that? Okay. How annoying was the... Let's see the Jets draft, Manti Te'o. Only one team to go to. The Jets. LOL, Jets.
Hey, what's next? What's next on the screen just went dark? What's next?
Well, one of the things I want to do is I want to bring in my cousin. I do. I want to bring in Michelle for a second. She's got to go get her crowd. She brought a crowd down here, Bri.
That's great.
One of the things that she came with, you guys see this behind me. Again, Mike's uncle. Mike's uncle. Put the cans on. Yeah. My cousin is a Smurf. She's adorable. She's 3 apples high. She's just stepping up to the microphone.
She's got a little stool. Someone's in.
Right. Well, to you, it's a big stool.
That's right.
Everything's a big stool. This is really a pretty wonderful for me to have my cousin here, who I haven't seen in such a long time, but she's a huge fan of the show. You've been like a year, right?
Yes.
About a year. All because your dad,
yes,
Bobby Benn,
yes,
picked up on the show because my dad was on,
right,
which is pretty cool. Back when we had the Swami on, Cal. He's, by the way, he's upset.
Why?
He thinks we fired him.
Well, I just didn't renew his contract. That's all.
Well, he was just not asked back.
He
was
locked out.
Too. Yes, we need to say hi to Ben. Ben, thank you again for coming down. Good to see you. Is Ben your chaperone here?
He is.
No,
he's
Michelle,
not a very good one.
No, you've been
arrested. He's amazing.
You've been arrested 3 times.
That's right. Right.
Yeah. So really, on the chaperoning, D
Dad,
minus.
Bring bail money. Bring bail money.
So Michelle grew up in Nashville, okay, with Met, Jet, Islander, rooting dad and mom.
Yeah. Went along.
Went along for the ride.
Yeah.
Okay. So what was it like to grow up in Nashville rooting for the Mets? Yeah.
I don't know what to say. It was interesting. Yeah. Especially, well, there's no baseball team, so everybody's a Yankees fan. Everybody's a Yankees fan because it's a, oh, look, we're bandwagoners. Look at our Yankees hat, which I'm making a Yankees hat with my hands.
She's
everybody
making a
see.
Yankee hat gesture.
So that's pretty much it. Like, my husband's a Yankees fan.
He's from Kentucky.
But he's out of spite. It's because I'm a Mets fan.
Again with the spite.
And he's a Kentucky fan. I'm a Duke fan just to get it back.
I see.
Because we love each other.
Right.
Because we're in love.
That's the best way to root for
right.
teams.
It's very
right.
romantic.
Right.
But my father's probably going to have a nervous breakdown hearing that. So
right.
He's like, what? Divorce?
You've been married for a number of years now.
Yes.
Was that not on
like
the application?
Seven? No.
Right.
I don't know.
Please put down your team affiliate, your affiliation immediately. So, you having fun in New York?
I am.
Is it awesome?
It's freaking cold. It's 40 degrees in Nashville, and we're like, oh, it's chilly. And then here, it's zero. Keep walking.
Keep your head down.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Don't look at anybody zero. In the eye. Don't look at anybody. Everybody's mad.
Right.
So,
everybody is mad.
It's your problem.
Yeah.
Have you seen any shows?
No. We went to the Natural History Museum.
The Museum
today.
Of Natural History.
There you go. That's because I'm classy. I know all that. I learn. There was whales.
You're a seeker.
Yes.
Now you did work at one point in Nashville in music in.
Yes, I did.
Tell us about that.
Hey everybody, Vince Gill has a wandering eye, literally. So that was fun.
Wait, what?
Okay, it's sport. Okay, you know Vince Gill.
Yes.
Okay.
No,
he's got a lazy eye. Everybody, fast fact, news, TMZ.
Spoiler alert.
So we were just talking about this earlier. Went to a game. Went to the studio. We were working on his album, and he was wearing. So far long ago, it's when Paterno went to Louisville. It's Louisville, ladies and gentlemen. Now, Louisville, it's Louisville.
A lesson I learned the hard way when I went to the University of Dayton.
So
I was like, you are from Louisville.
You're like, get out.
That's okay.
So
we can fix that now.
I'm there, and he looks like directly away from me and goes, did you go to Kentucky? And I stop, and I look behind me, and I go, Are you talking to me? Which his wife, who's Amy Grant, starts doing the whole, are you talking to me? From like, you know, and I'm like, oh, okay, this is probably the worst moment of my life because everybody stopped and are like, oh. And yeah, but he laughed. He thought it was funny.
I like how you just dropped his wife.
Yeah.
His wife, who's Amy Grant?
Well, with a bad impression, apparently.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
No, not your bad. Amy Grant did the bad impression.
Yes, it was horrible.
Right,
I did a bad impression of Amy Grant doing a bad impression of that.
Right, your impression was good.
Yeah, no.
A lazy eye on him.
Yeah.
And a wandering eye.
Well, not wandering in, you know, and I'm not going to comment.
Right, we're not going to do that.
Wow.
So, who's your favorite Met?
I like the one that looks good in the uniform.
The handsome one?
Like Dickie because his name was Dickie. And he's from Nashville, which I didn't know until he was on the cover of the Tennessean. I'm like, Dad! He's like, I knew the whole time, you idiot. I'm like, Dickie, Dad!
Yeah.
So, and it's good listening to the show because I can pretend that I know stuff.
Right.
And I'm like, hey, Dad, blah, 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 Darrell Revis, blah, blah. And he's like, you don't know any of this. I'm like, I don't know any of this.
Neither do we.
No.
So if you're listening to us.
So we're finally fulfilling.
It's a moment.
Right.
Yeah.
Something with your dad, like
a bonding moment.
It's a proud family
moment.
He's finally like, see, all those years.
It happened.
Those years of watching that
whispering into her ear at night when she was sleeping.
You know, the amazing thing, one of the cool things about Bobby being down there, and I always feel weird calling him Bobby because in my family, as in yours probably too, Cal, and yours probably too, Jay, with the Italian, that, like, anybody older than you, cousin or not, is uncle.
Uncle, yeah.
Yes.
And I, when we went down there when I was 13, 20 years ago, much like Hedwig in my early to late 30s, I was introduced to him as Bobby. It was never Uncle Bobby. Like, he didn't want that. Like, we were...
My nephew...
Ash,
it was
right.
Never... My nephew's Ash. When he was born, it's... Grammy and Bob. Still to this day, Grammy
like
and Bob.
Like your father just does not have
no,
that.
No.
Which is funny, that was the same name as my grandfunkel.
TM.
JTM. I hope you're taking notes. We had grandfunkel. We'd like that one as well.
Is that a grandfunk railroad?
That is some relation to grandfunk railroad. And also a great granduncle for Dunkle. But he never wanted to be called Uncle Bobby. So and that's
did
rare.
You didn't
know.
Okay.
He's always
you
been Bobby Met.
Wishes.
But your dad, because you guys changed your name,
was
always Bobby Ben.
Right.
Like Bobby Ben was always at the end of that.
Right.
Or Ben.
But it's Bentram.
Bentram.
But it's Ben. Everybody calls him that.
Oh, Bobby Ben. But he moved down there, Cal. We've talked about this a lot on the show. The idea of living in different places and trying to follow your teams. And when I lived in Los Angeles, I lived in Los Angeles from what was like 99 to 2003. Like, I couldn't follow the Mets every day. I couldn't watch the Mets every day. I couldn't, there wasn't the online capability to follow my team.
Right.
He moved down there in like, what, 85?
No, earlier than that. It had been like about 80.
80, right.
I was 6 weeks old, so that's 77.
So he's been down there some time.
Yes.
So when Tom Seaver was traded, he just left. He said, okay, I'm out of here.
You know what? I would not be surprised if your father called right now and was like, that's exactly what drove me out of New York. Was them, was M. Donald Grant trading
I'm
Tom
leaving.
Seaver. That's it, I'm out. Joan Payson into the bargain. But, it, like, so to follow a team, your team's down there, like, he must be like a pig in you-know-what now.
Right. Oh, no. What? He has a little setup, and he's going to kill me for saying this, but he has a setup in his man cave.
I love him, Cal.
He
I
has a setup guy. Where he has...
He's like a role model.
He listens to it on the radio. He watches some one on TV, if it's on TV, but then he has a computer just for that, just a computer for the rating, just sits there like, yes, yes.
Right. It's, and he's watching the games. He's listening to the games. I love that.
Yeah, he has
I
it all set out.
This is why. This is why, like, the first time he listened to the show, and we were talking about, like, Ellis Valentine and Craig Swan and Mike Jordan.
He knew all those guys.
He was like, oh, Steven, that's right. He's a sick meth junkie.
Yes.
I remember that.
Yes.
I remember that. Like, because when I came to see you when I was 13, that was the height of my methdom. Yeah, I had a problem. I still do. Hence, I do a podcast. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And this gift, I don't. There's no word. There's
there,
really no
there
word.
There was many.
There, this, I can't wait to put the picture of this on... The picture of this thing on the episode page.
I love it.
When you people see this, you're going to go, PJ may lose it all. Like, he may officially say that's the most ridiculous, magnificent thing I've ever seen.
They're going to get orders and be really confused.
Yeah. We got a ton of orders from New York. I don't know. I don't know why
like,
they...
Like, we're reaching them. We're reaching them.
We're getting to them. We're teaching them about the plane.
They're going to order a ton of Passover
things. That's right. That's right. Our buddy JC makes a great point. If anybody's ordering a ton of the Passover plague, it's coming from Long Island. It's coming from Jericho. That's probably where that's... when are you here till?
We leave Saturday.
Do you have anything to plug? You working on anything? Or?
Ben? he's a tour manager for Cirque du Soleil, which is hilarious.
Our cousin Michelle Schrein is a tour manager for Cirque du Soleil.
That's so cool.
Not
that
all
is
of them.
Super cool. Well, there's a ton of them.
I know.
Do you know, Ben, do you know Diablo?
What?
Do you know Diablo from Los Angeles?
Yeah.
Very cool. You should have talked to Matt about that. We used to work with them in Los Angeles. Yeah. Jacques, the artistic director there.
Everybody listening is riveted right now.
Right. I just took the podcast way into Actorville. And not even like Actorville. Like, I took it into like Commedia dell'arte.
French-Canadian Actorville.
Yeah. Well, Jacques is French-Canadian.
There you go.
We used to rehearse at their space in Northridge. Yeah. Well, that's very cool. What show, what Cirque show are you touring on?
Allegria.
Allegria?
In Europe.
Oh, wow. In Europe. Well, this is obviously the highlight of your week. We're really providing the entertainment. You better do a dance or something. This guy's all over the place.
He's like, please don't dance.
Yeah, please don't. Not with the dancing.
That's, you know, stop dancing.
Well, I love you.
I
thank
love
you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And it's so good to see you. 25 years, reunited.
And it's good to
feel
so good.
Yeah,
it does.
Right. Without it being awkward, you know.
Yeah.
Again, the Arrested Development moment when you're singing Afternoon Delight with your niece.
No, never. Oh, my God.
Cal, back to the sports. Get another drink, you. You drinking Diet Coke? Go easy. Yeah. Yes, yes. Bobby Van, Diet Coke, nothing but. She's also wearing 7 layers. I don't know why
because
that counts.
Cold.
Well, because it's 5 degrees. And your husband's probably going to listen at some point. Yeah. Well, a hello to the husband I've never met. But we're family. Yes. Thank you, babe. Show this to Megan what we're talking about. This was the gift that my cousin brought for Wesley. The most bizarre, wildly inappropriate. Yeah. So to the sport.
You want to talk about the Mets real quick?
No, I think we should. Here's what I think we should do. I think we should keep it a little more broad. So we'll save the specific stuff for next week.
Okay.
I think we still have JC here. I want JC to jump in. Maybe somebody comes from the back.
When you say broad.
Right.
Where are you going with that?
I have a couple of things here, nice.
Oh, good.
I have.
At least it's spontaneous.
Right. No. There's a couple of things I was thinking about. Like, we could talk about the Mets shortly. They signed Sean Markham today. Big sign. huge.
But they're also looking into Michael Bourne.
Yes, they are. Now, do you believe that's legitimate?
I believe it's very legitimate.
Really?
Yes, I do. And because they are looking to have the commissioner reverse the ruling. Now the rule is, if you finish with one of the top 10 picks in Major League, you know, you have
yep.
one of the 10 worst records. If you finish with a top 10 pick.
Which the Mets did.
Yes, they did. Your pick is protected if you were to sign a free agent.
Right.
Typically when you sign
a first-tier free agent.
Right. Typically when you sign a first-tier free agent, you have to give up your first-round pick. Unless
right.
you finish in the top 10, then you would give up
that
a second-round pick.
That pick is protected.
Okay. So the Mets finished number 10. Last year, the Pirates couldn't sign their player, Mark Appel.
Appel.
Appel. Couldn't sign him, so he goes back in the draft, which means the Pirates get a compensatory pick for this year, which pushes the Mets out of the top 10 to
and
number 11.
Unprotected area.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now we're Beavis and Butthead now, apparently.
I'm sorry.
Cal said unprotected.
So what the Mets are doing, it's just such a Sandy Alderson thing to do.
It is.
He's petitioning the league.
It's trying to take
on a technicality.
Yep. And he's got a beat.
He's got a very legitimate argument.
Now, there was a lot of LOL Mets stuff going on, though, that they were doing this to sign, like, Kyle Loesch.
Right.
Like, they're not doing it to sign Michael Bourne. By the way, I looked at Michael Bourne's numbers. I'm not. If the Mets outfield was not as bad as it is.
But that's the problem. It's really
bad.
It's so bad that people are lamenting Scott Harrison signing
like,
with the Cubs. Well,
Scott
Harrison
signed with the Cubs and Mets Twitter exploded.
Oh, no. Now what do I do?
That's it. 60. And the one tweet I saw that was great, which was, we just went from 67 wins to 66. Let's just all calm down. Are you an advanced metrics guy, JC?
I don't do
math. Right.
Good.
You're a lawyer. I don't do math. I'm a lawyer. Right. So I'm a rudimentary advanced metrics guy. Cal dismisses it.
I don't want any part of it.
That's for the nerds. All right.
I don't understand it. Yeah.
He's a sight test guy. He's an eye test. No, but you look at his advanced metrics?
I don't.
Oh, they stink on ice.
You know what I look at? I look at the fact that he's 30 years old and his game is based on speed. So you don't really want to get tied up in a long-term contract.
I'm not going to go long-term with him, but
if you could sign him for a one-year deal,
never happen. Yes, we're paying Bobby Bonilla. Thank you.
Who brought the Yankee fan?
All right. Yes, they are. They're paying Bobby. And you know what the great part is, JC? Adam Rubin, who covers the Mets, you know, so well. Has that number at his fingertips. Like, anytime Bobby Bonilla is brought up on Twitter, he immediately tweets it's $1.67 million until, you know, 2030.
Put him in rights.
Hey, he's better than Mike Baxter. Hey, look, let's not bag on Mike Baxter. By the way, Whitestone's own.
And he saved the no-hitter.
He will forever go down in Met lore as a good person.
He never has to buy a drink in this town again.
That's right. Especially not here at Blue Haven, where we are live. You see how I did?
Yeah.
See what I did there? We are live at Blue Haven, and there's a good crowd. Megan, I got to tell you, I came in here 2 weeks ago after I went to see On the Road up at the IFC. Matt and I came in because I had a night, and so we came in here for a beer or whatever after the movie. And Dierman was working, and it was packed, jam-packed, because it's a good bar, people, but it was jam-packed. And he comes, he sees me, right, rushes to the door, and he whispers in my ear, "Told you it was a sports bar." I said, "I've never doubted you." It was jam packed. It's pretty good out there too. Come down for the Super Bowl, please. Is he coming down? By the way, Megan, is he coming down? Flu.
Oh no.
Flu Mageddon.
Yeah.
Flu Nipis. Real. I think the Post has that one, by the way.
Flu-pocalypse.
Flu Nation.
Flutastrophe.
Flutastrophe. Yeah. But
so let's... No, okay, finish.
No, I was just going to say that with Michael Bourne, like, that doesn't make sense to me beyond 2 years. You can get him for 2 years and, you know, $24
million. Yeah, I'm okay with that.
I'm great with that.
I don't want to give him 5 years, $75 million.
No.
And I don't think they would.
No. Sandy Alderson's not going to do that.
The hallmark of Sandy Alderson is that he's patient and he waits things out.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's even in the conversation for Michael Bourne right now, who is arguably the best free agent outfielder on the market.
And was at the start of free agency.
That's what I mean.
Other than Josh Hamilton.
That's what I mean. Give Sandy Alderson credit that he's even in the conversation.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm so surprised that so many Met fans, though, that are so pro-Michael Bourne just because it means that they spent money. Like, these same people that are touting advanced metrics and, like, oh, you have to do this, this, and this. And by the way, this is not a pat myself on the back. This is just to talk to you about it because we said it a number of weeks ago and we've been talking about it for a long time, and that is Sandy Alderson is trying to build the Giants. He's trying to build the San Francisco Giants. It doesn't. They won two championships in 3 years with a largely different lineup, a different outfield. It doesn't matter if I have core pieces like a catcher, like a third baseman, like I'm getting home runs out of first base, and I have that pitching staff, you can win and compete. The outfield is not as it – look, does it stink right now that the Mets starting outfield is Lucas Duda, Kirk Nieuwenhuyzen, Colin Cowgill, and Mike Baxter, and a player to be named later in right field? That's not good.
They get to start five guys this year?
That's right. It's like softball. They're going to put a sweeper in.
Only the Met.
Well, that's how close they are with Selig. Like, Selig's
right.
Like, you guys want to run a sweeper this year? We can do that. That's fine.
You can put five guys out there. It's not going to matter.
It's not going to matter.
You want us to pitch it underhand, too?
You can.
Yes.
If Harvey and Wheeler and now Snyder.
Syndergaard.
Develop, and Familia and Mejia, if these pitching guys develop, you will have a staff that rivals the San Francisco Giants. You can win because you can pitch in the playoffs, you can get there with good pitching, and you can get a stupid year like they did out of Melky Cabrera, or you can get a year like they got out of Angel Pagan.
And, oh, by the way...
Or Cody Ross in the postseason 3 years ago.
They've got two guys under contract next year.
The Mets, yeah.
Two.
Two guys.
Jonathan Neese and David Wright. They've got, they'll have, what, $20 million tied up next year?
Yeah, I think it's like
roughly.
22.
Okay, that's it.
That's it.
All right, you can do whatever you want. And the one issue, and we can move off the mess, but I wanted to talk about this. The one issue I had with Alderson is that I think he's been too focused on 2014. I think he, you know, whether you add a guy now, if you add salary now, if it makes sense, it's not the worst thing in the world. I think he's put all his eggs in the 2014 basket.
Do you think, though, that he – don't you think he tried to dispel that, though?
Yeah.
He did. I mean, like when he went on with Francesco last week, like
he tried
to dispel this idea that – like,
and you know what?
He gets it. He knows that the outfield stinks on ice.
And you know what? Maybe he
– on ice twice tonight, by the way, Jay. Let's put a nickel in the jar there. That's it for that.
Maybe it's because that's how he's been up until now, but now this year, because we're a year away from 2014, he's changing his approach a little bit. I don't know.
It could be.
I don't know. It could be.
Look, he knows that he has to produce. He knows the team has to produce. Look, they're picking him for 65 wins, so we'll see.
Historically bad again. I saw that.
Historically bad again,
yeah.
That
worked out well last year.
Last year, Michael Kay said that the Mets would be historically bad. And a caller called him on it and said, you're telling me the Mets are going to win 40 games next year. And he's like, that's what I'm telling you. If they lose Jose Reyes, they will be historically bad.
How dare you? How dare you suggest that the Mets are going to win more than 40 games? You animal. How dare you?
So when they were like 47 and 41 at the break, people were like calling up like, historically bad may have been a reach. And he's like, let's talk about Jeter. He's awesome. I love him so much. Everybody loves Jeter. JC, what's your club going to do? I don't care for your club. No, it's a bad situation. It's a bad Islanders. Oh, there's a scrap going on. We have all the sports on here at Blue Haven. For Cal and I, we have the Islander game on, which takes us to the next
segment
I want to talk about.
The next segment.
Jay is holding up cards, and he's going like this. Stretch it out. Stretch it out. Do 10 more minutes on the Mets. We should thank a bunch of people, too, as we're going. We have about 40 minutes left in the live stream. And just thank JC, Matt, Keith, my cousin, obviously. My cousin Louise, who is down here with a bunch of friends. There's people out there hanging out. And Megan, of course, listening to us. Hanging.
And allowing us to talk.
Eating a steak nice. That's a nice-looking piece of meat, by the way. That's a nice steak. But no, it's a steak. There's a steak here. We're at a restaurant. Jay Mavali just gave me the worst look. You know what? You were, like, laughing there. Where you're, like, open the door. We're like, ah.
Very interesting.
And once again, a very topical reference.
I know, it's 1968.
You're right, by Stampede there. Once again, making a super topical reference. Any minute now, I'm going to reference Emergency. Remember that show?
Sure.
That was a good show.
Can we go back to When Harry Met Sally?
Right.
That was also very...
At least that was in the 80s. I went to the Islander game.
The opener?
No, the
second game.
Second game.
Right.
I tell you, I love the hockey, Cal. I'm in.
Yeah, no, it's fun to watch.
It brings up an interesting problem.
They're winning 6-3, by the way.
Islanders?
6-3.
The New York Islanders?
Yeah, 6-3.
Over the Toronto Maple Leafs, who we don't like.
No.
Nobody cares for.
So what kind of problem does this bring up?
Well, here's what I want. Ooh, there's Kaepernicking, by the way. We have ESPN on here as well, because there's a million TVs, people. And he was Kaepernicking. I just saw it. Trademark. Islanders going to a game. JC, you went to the Ranger game last night or whatever. Did you find the love of hockey? You're a big Knick guy, though, too. You love the Knicks, I thought. Not so much? Okay. We have been discussing recently a lot that, for me, hockey has moved into that third sport, comfortably into that third. Like, when the lockout ended, I'm growing a beard. That I was ecstatic, and then I went to a game on Monday, Cal. Just so nice.
You know the thing that struck me about, well, that was Monday, that was the second game. So on opening day, which was last Saturday,
right?
The thing that was just crazy was how excited people were for hockey to be back.
Yeah.
Like, everybody you talked to.
Nice to see. Well, and the Rangers are good. That's a good part of it.
But I'm talking about, like, I was out on Long Island. I was walking around with my Islanders hat, getting bagels on Saturday morning.
Like you do.
Like, that's what you do.
As one does.
You live on Long Island.
Right.
You get bagels on Saturday morning, and,
where'd
you
go?
First Class Bagels.
Where's that at? Town Line?
Over on Larkfield.
Nice.
Cool. They make a nice
For
bagel.
Those of you who don't know, Cal and I grew up in the same neighborhood in Comac. Long Island.
Right. But I have a hat on, and you know, everybody that saw me commented, and it wasn't like a snarky, Islanders, good luck with that.
Right.
It wasn't like that.
You mean like we get for the Jets and the
Mets? When I wear my Met hat.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry, bro.
My bad.
What are you sorry about?
Good luck with that team.
I'm just picking up some chicken. Why are you so upset?
Just getting Taco Bell here. I just want to.
But everybody.
I just want a chalupa.
It's the first. It's one.
Why are the gym a part of this?
It's one of the first.
The worst one of that was the gymboree.
Oh, you got one of the gymboree?
Wesley the gymboree on a Saturday morning. I have a Jet hat on. And we're out on the mats. The kids are playing, having a nice time. Oh, Jet fan. Hope you're not doing that to your son. Really? We're doing this? A gymboree? You're going to make me fight you a gymboree. That's child abuse. Hope he doesn't have a Jet. Hope he doesn't have a Jet. Really, guy? Really? There are a lot of mats around here. I will lay you out on this gymboree contraption here.
Right.
For the children, it's supposed to be like a mousetrap.
That would have been a message to your son.
That would have been a good message to send to
what you do.
Met fan, good luck with that. Hope you're not doing that to your son. Yeah, I might be. Is it okay?
So the thing is, when I was out with the hockey hat on, this is the first time that there's been a work stoppage, whether it's been a lockout or a strike, that people were really excited for the sport to come back. Every time it comes back, there's always a little ill will towards the sport,
right.
Or towards the athletes,
right.
The owners. This time, it was just like universal, I'm so glad hockey's back.
It was weird.
And now, how was the experience at the game?
It was great. I mean, it was a really great crowd. The people were into it. People were happy to see hockey back. The Islanders won. They played really well.
It was a Monday afternoon, and it was a hot crowd.
It was a hot crowd. It was. It was. Really good material.
Lively.
The overwhelming thing that I felt was relief that the Islanders are moving to Brooklyn.
Why?
So, like, everybody was back in the building watching the Islanders, and it was like this huge common sense of, we only have to put up with this crappy building for another 2 years, and we can watch hockey. You know, like, we get to watch hockey, and we only have this dump for another 2 years. But it's our dump.
It's our dump, and the old barn does rock.
It does rock.
Why do they call it a barn?
I don't know. That's like, why do they call it a sweater? You know, it's not a hockey jersey. It's a sweater.
Because they used to wear sweaters.
Right.
That's the reason why.
Right.
Why do they call it a barn?
That makes sense. I have nothing for the barn then. The sweater thing was my whole defense. And you peed all over that. Yeah. So that's good. Piss yourself. In Sacramento, I'm going to be there. It's always a great crowd there. It's always really, really good. Milk out of your nose.
I think the barn was another comedy place, wasn't it?
The barn.
Right.
I opened
the comedy barn
there.
I opened for Dom Irrera at the comedy barn.
The barn.
Only
prop comics.
Right. The last thing I want to talk about with the Islanders, and it relates to the Knicks as well. And JC, you have the children. You can speak to this. And Megan, you do too. But your husband's Irish, so doesn't count. No, but the idea that our buddy Evan, on the same day that I went to the Islander game on Monday, Evan went to the Knick net game on Monday. Because his third sport has become basketball. So he had this decision about what jersey to buy his almost four-year-old son. And for the Islanders, it's easy. Like, that's what I wanted to talk to you about, like with the girls or whatever, like, when you took them to the Met game,
right.
Easy. We'll get them David Wright jerseys. We'll be done with it.
That's what you think.
You would think that.
You would think that.
I'd be wrong.
My little one, I said, who's your favorite Met? Scott Harrison.
Who signed with the Cubs today?
I haven't told her yet.
So you got her the 12 jersey?
She's six.
I told her, you're right.
6 years old. I don't know how to break it to her.
Emma, sit down. Here's the thing about Scott Harrison. He's not going to be back. No, our buddy Evan sent us a picture with the Carmelo Anthony jersey on. Said it was either that or Tyson Chandler. I didn't know what to do. It was like the slightly overweight superstar versus the really hardworking good guy. And I went with Carmelo Anthony.
A little more recognizable.
You
can't go wrong with that.
But the problem today is the players are so transitory.
Yeah.
That you got to go with a classic player. You go with no name and your favorite number, or you go with the classic. You go with Willis Reed.
Do you ever go your name?
No. Yeah. Unless you're a loser.
Right.
And then by all means.
Unless you want to get beat up
yeah.
at the game.
Yeah.
Oh, here's another great one. You're a Yankee fan.
I am.
Do you ever go with Yankee jersey with the name on the back?
Absolutely not. That's.
Yeah, do it.
Thank you.
You know the neophyte when you see that.
Right away. Mantle 7.
Never happened. Now, here's one of the ways that a Yankee fan always has, one of the myriad of ways a Yankee fan always has an advantage over pretty much any other fan. But Jeter, you can always get the kid a Jeter jersey.
Yeah, in fact,
Jeter's
I confess.
Never
going
to play for another team.
Yeah.
The two is going to become... it's going to be up there on the wall. Okay. On the big one.
My four-year-old daughter has a Jeter t-shirt.
That's right. Can't go wrong.
Yeah. She knows nothing about baseball, but she knows that Derek Jeter is her favorite player.
And that'll be like the DiMaggio shirt that can go on forever.
That's right.
The Jeter shirt will always be okay.
She will pass that on to her children.
I think that's probably unlikely with the material that shirts are made out
right.
of these days.
Right.
It's not like a good hockey sweater,
cool.
you know?
It's not
you know?
Like a hockey sweater. That's going to last you a while.
Yeah.
The cotton blend.
I said the great thing about the Islanders right now is that it's super easy. Like, I went into the Islander store and I bought Wesley a JT, John Tavares shirt, because that's easy. Like, you know, he's not going to be, you know, crowing for, you know, a Mark Streit jersey. We're fine. Now, when we were kids, and the Islanders were the greatest dynasty ever to play the game, or any professional sport, because they hold one of the greatest records in the history of professional sports. I had a 26 for Dave Langevin. I had a 22 for Bossy. I had a 31 for Billy Smith. I had a 23 for Bob Nystrom. I had a 7 for Stefan Pearson. Like, you could do the whole team. They were all good.
Yeah, it seems to me when you're talking Islanders, there's only one jersey, and that's Nystrom. And I think you have to grow the hair and
Bobby
the mustache and get the whole look going.
I'm working on the mustache.
Yeah, but you got to get the blonde and the flowing. And
it just sort of happens when you put the jersey on.
Yeah, it just grows.
It just grows.
Yeah, it's like kind of like Viagra for the hair.
Do you guys have pictures?
The sweater.
That's right.
Do you guys have pictures like that though? From this was the other thing I wanted to bring up was like I have pictures from my childhood of wearing like a number 16 Mets pajama for Lee Mazzilli. Like I'm cognizant of what I'm putting Wesley in for pictures.
Yeah, look, I grew up Jewish kid in Connecticut. Frugal parents.
You're the one.
We didn't have, like the authentic jerseys. We had like a generic 44 in some color that no team actually wore.
Right.
And it said like sports, not even like baseball. It just said sports.
The bees.
Yeah. I'm a sports 44 guy. That's me.
Right. Rugged.
Go sports.
Right. All sports.
Yeah.
I was an
all-star in my house only.
You must have pictures with.
As an all-star? Yeah. I was an all-star too.
In my house?
My house.
What were you doing at JC's? You just met him tonight.
I don't know.
That was before
the fans voted, I think. That was your parents voted.
You must have pictures I have pictures in Husky jeans and Husky Tuffskins. You were a thin kid.
I was
after.
We had Tuffskins. We had Garanimals for much longer than I like to admit.
Yeah.
We did a lot of shopping at Marshall's where I grew up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sears was staple.
A lot of Marshall sneakers, which like, like
Velcro.
The left one would fit really well, and the right one was a little off. But
you're talking winners now. Sears winner sneakers, which I had. Look, there was nothing winning about the Sears winner sneakers.
When we got the winner two, that was a big day.
Winner two, you're like, wow.
And then the air winner, did you get that one?
No, they had those.
Yeah, no, I just made it up just now.
We weren't allowed to
Mom, I really want Reeboks. You're getting winners. Winners. And then when you got the winners, too, it was like, somebody got paid. What's up?
Every shirt, every picture of me, it's an ill-fitting jersey of some sort. Or
sweater.
A t-shirt or
sweater.
A sweater.
Sweater.
Whatever it is. My posture is extremely poor, but my arms are really forward.
Right.
And I'm wearing Wrangler jeans. And that's it.
Brett Favre's a Wrangler man, isn't he?
He is
so,
now.
You were wearing Wrangler jeans and nothing else?
Yeah, nobody. It wasn't acceptable.
Why are there so many shirtless pictures of you as a child? The remarkable thing is that Cal and I have known each other since we're 8 years old. We played on our first Little League team together. So there were probably plenty of Little League practices where I showed up in a Tim Tuchel jersey inexplicably. You know, like, why are you wearing number 11 for Kelvin Chapman? Like, these are such obscure Mets that, like, even Kelvin Chapman's kids, like, don't have 11 jerseys, and I had one. I don't know why. Did you have the propensity to, like, pick weird jerseys?
Yeah, I think we talked about this at one point. I never had the jerseys. I didn't even have the T-shirts. What I would do is I would get a white Hanes undershirt. And my mother would give me blue and orange markers, and she'd say, "Go ahead, make a shirt."
But the fact that you're wearing Hanes, I mean,
it was it might not have been Hanes.
Right.
I think
Sears
Winners
T-shirt.
The Winners
Hanes. Right.
But I would. But I
like a Gilda over the eye.
I remember specifically making a Danny Heap T-shirt.
Of course, number 25. You needed the 25.
And then I screwed because I had to put the stripes on. I screwed the stripes up and
Right. Well, we made. Yeah, we made. Me and my buddy Kev obviously made T-shirt jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt, they were all Kingman.
Sure.
They were all number 26, Dave Kingman. 26 in your programs. Number one in your heart.
And number one in the strikeout list.
And number 875 in sports writers' opinions of professional athletes.
Number one in delivering rats to female sports writers.
That's right. All right, so we should bring PJ in. We have like a half an hour left.
We should do the fun load. Yeah.
Let's do the fun load. Peach, are you ready for the fun load? Peach, can you play the song for the fun load?
That was You Suck.
Yes, I know. That was, now, you produced all of this stuff recently, haven't you, in the last 2 weeks while we were off?
I've been spending a little time with the computer.
You've been dabbling, haven't you?
Could you tell? Am I a little too trigger happy today?
All of these new toys that you just want to, oh, look, I got this one. And how about this one? And
that's right. That's right. Wait till I get the studio back up and running.
Oh, boy.
Then it'll be professional.
So, guys, I've been dreaming up more comedy club names.
Oh, what do you got?
That I thought might be... I think these are either actual names that are somewhere buried in the back of my brain, or they should be. I'm not entirely sure, but I'm pretty sure there's got to be a Funny Bones, probably in every other city.
With a Z.
Funny Bones with a Z.
Right.
Right. Exactly. There's probably a Laughaholics, right? There could be a...
which is also a bar.
I'm pretty sure that I played Riot in My Pants more than once. That was in Wisconsin. And then I think my favorite gig was at Tickle Your Pickle, which I mean, speaks for itself. Really.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm opening a new club in Freehold, New Jersey. Maybe you can come down and play. PJ Laugh-A-Lot.
PJ Laugh-A-Lot. Nice. That's good. Sir Laugh-A-Lot.
Hello and welcome to PJ Laugh-A-Lot. Yeah, it'll be like a Camelot theme.
Oh.
Like the comedians will wear armor.
I like that. But the logo will be PJ dressed as a jester.
Sure.
Obviously a jester. Sure. So PJ, you have the you have something very fun tonight for the fun load, don't you?
That's marginally fun. We could make it fun.
I'm sure we can make it fun, but I believe it's going to be extremely fun.
Well, here's what happened. There was an article online, and the name of the article was 9 Ways in Which Lindsay Lohan Ruined 9 of Her Movie Shoots.
Has she been in more than 9?
Oh, yeah. Going back to when she was a kid.
She's only ruined 9.
Yeah, she's terrible. She's a nightmare. And I was reading it, and as I was reading it, I was thinking, you know, this she's poison to me. Like, if I see her name above the title, Lindsay Lohan in, I'm like, click. Let's immediately go to something else.
Do you forbid your kids to watch anything with her in it?
No. Matter of fact, my daughter tends to gravitate towards the actresses whose lives are full of scandal. She likes to watch Zoe 101.
That's why.
Joan Collins. She's prepared.
No. She watches Zoe 101, which is with Jamie Lynn Spears, who got like knocked up at age 15.
Amanda Bynes, probably.
She loves The Amanda Show.
She has 2 girls.
That's all I watch.
Cal has 2 girls. Nice. And JC has 2 girls. You're going to be dealing with this in a couple of minutes. Cal's girls are
Demi Lovato.
You know, are a couple of years in front of yours. You're going to be dealing with all of this very soon.
Oh, yeah. You watch The Amanda Bynes Show?
You watch The Amanda Bynes? You're waiting for what now? Who's Amanda Bynes? So, go ahead. You were talking about ruinous things.
No, PJ was talking about how Lindsay Lohan has ruined 9 of her movies.
Yeah.
So that probably leads to something.
And it got me on the idea of whose name would I see that would totally turn me off to a movie.
Right.
You know, Lindsay Lohan is really high on the list.
Okay.
You know, if I see it, I just know that's a movie I'm not going to watch. Another one for me is, of course, high-pitched actor Ed Burns.
Is that the way we can officially describe him from now on, please?
He goes, well, this is what I said. He goes to the Billy Crystal School of High Pitch Acting.
Right.
Isn't he also known as Long Island filmmaker Ed Burns?
Yeah.
Not to me. Right.
Jay, you're going to need to keep your microphone on for this.
It's on the ready.
Yeah, okay, good. It ruins the movie for you? But he writes his own stuff, though.
He ruins his own movie, then.
He ruins his own movie?
He's a saboteur.
I think PJ is saying that it repels him from watching
the movie.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. I thought we were... Okay, I have...
No, he does. He ruins movies, and he repels me from watching others. A movie he ruined just in 5 seconds was Saving Private Ryan.
Yes, he did.
He had one line. It was awful. He delivered it like he was living in 1995. Took you right out of the movie, and I hate him. He's terrible, and he's got a high-pitched voice.
Pete, remember what I said about Michelle, what's her name, the girl from Twilight?
Kristen Stewart.
On the Road. Kristen Stewart ruins On the Road the minute she opens her mouth. Because Kristen Stewart cannot speak like she's in 1947.
Yeah.
Kristen Stewart immediately and always sounds like she's in 2013.
So in the future, then, will she drive you away from future movies?
Oh, yes.
Because I've seen her in one where she was good.
Which one was that, Adventureland?
The Joan Jett movie.
Oh.
The Runaways.
The Runaways, yeah. She was a really good Joan Jett.
So she can do 1984
that's
fairly
can,
well.
That's it.
That well, yeah, she can do sullen, mumbling, spurious sexuality just fine.
What is going on here?
I've got one.
Yes.
With the exception of Moneyball, Jonah Hill.
Really?
You won't watch Jonah Hill?
No. I do not like him.
Please make your case.
I didn't like him.
Didn't care for it?
No.
Is that a truth?
Are you
blind
okay?
Blind actor? Blind?
Are
you
all
like fat Jonah Hill versus skinny Jonah Hill or no Jonah Hill?
That's right.
JC's taking off. JC, thank you, brother. Buddy of ours. He's a lawyer, so he knows about the law. Wow. I got a fancy glass this time. Oh, that's yours.
What are your thoughts on David Hasselhoff, PJ?
One word. German.
Yeah, I love the Hoff. I would watch. Yeah, I'll watch things with the Hoff, sure.
Have to love the Hoff.
He won't. Yeah, he doesn't turn me off.
Really, Jonah Hill?
Yeah, don't like him. Fat Jonah Hill much more acceptable than skinny Jonah Hill. Stay away.
He got all arrogant.
Yeah, I mean, come
Did
on.
Did you see the movie where he was the bad babysitter?
No. Oh no. Well, it's called Bad Babysitter, I believe.
Is it?
Adventures in Babysitting 2.
What a bad babysitter.
Never heard of this concept for a movie before. What, where the kids turn the tables on the babysitter? That's never been done.
How was that pitch meeting?
He is one for you.
And then somehow...
There's hijinks.
Before the parents get home?
Right. Somebody call Elizabeth Shue.
It usually ends with one kid winking into the camera.
Get me Christina Applegate and Chris Coogan.
I want to know why nobody raises their hand during those meetings.
Let's dissect this for a second. Is Cal just upset because they remade 21 Jump Street and didn't call him?
I don't know why they didn't call me.
Depp, Greco. Greco, Depp. Depp,
Greco, Calvi.
I can tell you, I've actually seen that movie all the way through. Have you guys seen it?
I heard
no.
It was good.
It
has redeeming qualities.
Can we spoil here?
Yes.
Are we allowed to
alert.
Do that? Just say spoiler alert.
Johnny Depp
are not in it.
For those of you who don't want to know about the end of 21 Jump Street, Johnny Depp actually is in it.
He makes a cameo.
As is young Mr. DeLuise.
DeLuise.
They both show up at the end of the movie, and they die.
Right. Now should we...
As their characters? From
no.
As their hearts are broken.
My heart is broken.
And where my wife just sighed and is inconsolable about Johnny Depp.
Aww.
That's part of the movie.
Should we talk about Peter DeLuise? Do you want to tell the people about that? Or
Peter DeLuise?
And as it relates to casting the Comac Cougar movie?
Right, Peter DeLuise would play the part of Sam Pete.
Really?
Yes.
When we were in
young,
high school.
Young Sam Pete.
when we were in high school on our baseball team.
It's a period piece.
It's a period piece. It's an 80s. It's the late 80s, early
90s. Well, if this was 84, you can get Kristen, what's her name?
Kristen Stewart. She would be magnificent.
Yeah.
She's just going to walk on set and brood.
Our baseball team, well before this was popular to do, by the way. Thank you, Megan. Megan's taking off. Megan, one of the magnificent people down here at Blue Haven. They've been so great to us tonight. Bree, our waitress, awesome. Please come down to Blue Haven, folks. Places. Super right, Michelle, it's super cool.
Yes.
We're not lying. Okay. Way before this was like popular to do, we cast our baseball team, the movie.
It was right around the time that the first Major League came out.
That's correct.
That was kind of the impetus.
This seems funny to about 12 people, none of who are listening.
It's a good point.
So I just was that a downer? Should I was that saying no? Was that not going along with it?
Right.
The opposite of what
Jay,
I was doing.
Jay studied improv at Second City.
Here's how to kill your joke.
Don't do that.
Funny bones.
Jay studied improv at Second City in Bangladesh.
I want you to, first of all, I'm cutting
not
you off.
Not the good Second City.
I'm cutting you off because I really want to hear more of PJ's thing. But before we do that, what you missed was when you were in the John, I was giving my names of comedy clubs that probably existed or should have.
Okay.
But you missed them, so...
I'll just have to listen to the podcast.
Perhaps you'll have to go back and take a listen. Or maybe I'll bring one back during the final unload.
Okay.
PJ, who else bothers you as soon as you see them on the marquee?
Post-1995 Robert De Niro.
I can see that.
He's right.
Gotten to the point where I just won't even try.
I mean, the mole is really taking over.
His mole bought, like, three houses, a couple of pools for the movies that it did.
His mole is actually getting its own roles now.
Right.
Steve, do you have anybody?
My ultimate one has been for a long time, Amanda Peet. She just kills every TV show and movie that I might like. And she has not been good in anything since she did The Whole Nine Yards. That was her first movie role, and like, oh, who's this wonderful person?
Ingenue.
She showed off her knockers in that one.
She may have showed a thing or two to the screen.
That's what you're waiting for. You want another knocker movie, and you're not getting it.
You're absolutely... No, but she ruined Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, and for that, I'm, like, venomous. I'm very angry. She stinks.
I don't think she was the cause of that.
She was.
She was terrible in that, and I think it was because she was pregnant.
Peach, am I wrong here, though? Let's be honest. Amanda Peet is movie poison.
She is movie poison. However, the kidnapping movie where the guys were in the Neil Diamond cover band, Saving Silverman, that was an okay movie.
That was a
good 2.5-star comedy.
Yeah, but
got to give you that one. It's pretty good.
All right, fine. She's on my list. Whatever.
Who else you got, PJ?
Well, get a little defensive, San Pete.
He almost spit his beer right into the microphone.
Jeez Louise. Well, she's on my list, and that's fine, and I'm not changing my list.
And
Jesus.
You know, I was never a big fan of Cloris Leachman.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I mean, are you being honest?
No, I'm being serious.
To your dad.
No, I know it's weird that I'm bringing that up, but she was always, you know.
She was a handsome woman in her day.
And now what she's trying to be a poor woman's Betty White right now.
Yep.
So you don't respect what she's trying to do.
I don't like it. I think she's a copycat.
Where do you stand on Leachman, Mafal?
Never heard of her.
Don't care for her work. David.
I love Leachman.
You're okay with her, PJ?
Yep.
I love Forrest Leachman. Really?
Yeah, don't like her.
Over the top?
A little too much. Do your own thing. Be your own person. You're 90 years old. Why do you
have a problem with it now?
I have a huge problem with her now.
The Carol Burnett show, or like you were fine then?
I think she was on the Carol Burnett show.
Not what
you just hit on somebody I wouldn't watch.
Vicki Lawrence.
Well, of course, Leachman was in that crew.
I don't think
she was in the Corman Conway crew.
I don't think she was on that. No.
I don't know if she was on that show.
I think she ran with a different crowd back then.
She ran with that crew.
Can we go back to Vicki Lawrence for just a second?
Oh.
Vicki Lawrence adds nothing.
She's Forrest Leachman's crew. I think it's fine.
I think that Vicki Lawrence has a lot to offer, just not anymore.
I think she's really overstayed her welcome.
When did it end?
With the second episode of Mama's Family.
Who's the guy on Mama's Family?
He would also repel me.
Jim Neighbors?
No.
No.
Ken Berry?
Is that his name?
Ken Berry, yes. He was in all of the Herbie the Love
Bug. He's that guy. He's a classic that guy.
Yeah, Ken Berry, sure.
If you keep digging, you can come up with that. Joyce DeWitt, sure, I wouldn't want to see her in a movie either.
Hey, listen, not right now.
You leave Joyce DeWitt alone. Shut your mouth.
I was always more of a Janet guy than Chrissy.
See, that's
I can
hold
that
on. That's very different than being a Marianne versus a Ginger.
Oh, yeah. No.
That's a whole different, and I thought that's where you were going with that, and I have to disagree.
Okay.
On Joyce DeWitt or on Marianne and Ginger?
Well, see, I've always been a Marianne, but that doesn't mean you have to be a Joyce DeWitt.
No, right. No, they're mutually exclusive.
You know what I mean?
Could we bring this into the 90s?
Here we go
maybe?
Again.
Could we maybe talk if you were like a Rachel or Monica, like something?
Also,
say it in terms of Melrose Place.
Locklear.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, another one, Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, I agree with that.
In
yeah.
the movie?
I won't.
Sure.
Oh, I won't go near her.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
That's
can I give
one.
A sport one, by the way?
No.
Please.
My bad. All right.
Give me a sports one.
Maybe I'll check out another podcast. That's fine.
No, we don't do sports here.
Fine.
No, really. I want to hear
no, there are guys.
Oh, absolutely.
Did you draw the correlation, you know, between sports? There are certain athletes that I never wanted to see on my team. I had one this year.
Yes.
It was the longest year of my life.
Yes, we all know.
Right.
Who you have this year.
You know who I'm talking about.
Yes.
Josh Tolley.
Right.
I'm talking about Tim Tebow.
But you kept watching, though.
I had to. They only play 16 games.
Well, that doesn't count.
You don't have to watch a Jennifer Aniston.
Who drives you away? Who do you see and say, I'm not watching this?
If Essa Tikkanen, this name is going to mean nothing to anybody but Calvi, had ever played for the Islanders, I would have been that turned off.
Dale Hunter.
There it is. I could think of one in every sport. Guys, you guys don't know Dale Hunter. Somewhere your dad, Michelle, is nodding furiously. And somewhere in Nashville, her dad is going, yup, Dale Hunter. Oh, man, he said it.
Scottie Pippen. I would never watch Scottie Pippen.
Pippen.
Are we saying that these guys would be starring in a movie? Or?
That's right. I would.
No, no. We're plugging to sports briefly.
Ever. Well, there's got to be musical projects as well, right?
I'd never want to hear Scottie Pippen sing, if that's what you're getting at.
Terrible.
I think Shaq covers all of it. Music, teams, movies.
Paxton? Terrible album. No, there's got to be musical artists as well that fit into this category. Like Here's Where I Am with Scott Weiland. Not interested.
Sure, never have to hear another song.
Yeah, I'm good.
See, but I'm going to start naming these things, and you guys are all going to start throwing stuff at me. So,
like,
well, not Stapp.
Like any member of Pearl Jam.
Hey,
oh, see, this
I'm
is
sorry,
what I'm
what?
Saying. That's it. Now everyone's looking at me.
No, hold on. Hold on one second. Hold on. So, who's one of your favorite bands?
Who are you asking?
You.
The Bangles.
Yeah, I said it.
Okay. So they say Bangles comeback record, best thing they've ever recorded, with guest backing vocal by Eddie Vedder. And then you're like, I'm out.
Yes. Yes.
That's what you're saying? Then he gets it. All right.
Eddie Vedder did a duet together. I don't think I could be on board.
Listen,
okay.
But you
That's
just,
strong. That's strong stuff you're bringing.
I would so be on board with that.
Can we make this happen?
Susanna Hoffs and
we make it with Susanna Hoffs and Eddie Vedder, please?
I want to hear another podcast putting this kind of stuff together. Try it.
Look, kid, the Bangles? Really? That's the first band you mentioned?
You know, I thought we were going Guilty Pleasures.
No,
well, is that just...
Well, we're not doing
you
that.
You know what?
That's what I meant. That's what you're...
I heard a great thing on... No,
said,
seriously, I heard a great thing on WTF, right? Cal and Dave Grohl was on WTF with Mark Maron. And
oh, time out. Where do we stand on Dave Grohl?
Before I even get to that, Jay, you okay on Dave Grohl?
I have no problems with Dave Grohl.
Okay. And I know PJ loves him.
I would clean his pool. It's fine.
Wow.
He said
clean his pool.
Pool or stool?
He said pool.
I would clean up his stool.
I would check his pool.
I check his stool nightly for rock and roll.
This actually happened, by the way. It's a true story.
Is that a true story, PJ?
Yep. I can't go back to the Paramount Theater because of that.
Your blind stool-checking rocker.
What were you starting to say?
Dave Grohl is on WTF, Mark Maron's podcast last week. It's magnificent. He has a movie coming out called Sound City, which is a documentary based on the soundboard from Sound City that Fleetwood Mac recorded on. You'll love this documentary, Jay.
I'm a total nerd, sure.
It's a hand-built soundboard, and they recorded Nevermind on it.
Okay.
And the premise is, basically, he would never have been where he is without this soundboard.
Like, the soundboard is magic.
The soundboard is magic, and it made, you know, they were a garage band.
So a movie starring a soundboard, I would go see.
That's right. You are.
But Eddie Vedder is working right. The soundboard.
You are.
Then he's out.
Can I get Stan Hoff anywhere in there?
Rick Springfield is in there.
Rick Springfield is not. You know what? He doesn't even fall under guilty pleasure.
You love
Sorry,
him.
Sorry, the man is brilliantly
yep.
talented.
But
there, I've said it.
But finish your point about the guilty right. pleasure. This is great.
And Rick Springfield sort of comes up in the interview about guilty pleasures. Because Rick Springfield is in the movie, and Dave Grohl is like, there's no such thing as a guilty pleasure. I don't agree with that. If you like it, you like it. Don't feel guilty about it. It's
no, I think
awesome.
it's something that you like, but you're embarrassed to admit
right.
that you like
You should never be embarrassed. And he
sure.
talks about getting Rush, the Rush album, like 2012 or whatever, that Rush album, where like they're in the kimonos and like the male camel toe is showing. And he's like, I'm not embarrassed by that. I was at the time. It's not a guilty pleasure. There's no such thing as a guilty pleasure. If you love it, you love it. If you love disco, you love it. So what? His point was, there's inherent artistic value in anything you like.
Except the Gin Blossoms.
Except the Gin Blossoms.
Oh, my God. Are you
Good
serious?
Point, Cal.
I actually really love the Gin Blossoms. Love them.
But, and, Pete, you heard Grohl deliver that about guilty pleasures, and I totally agree with that. And it was in reference to Rick Springfield.
Listen, speaking
I've
of...
I've had that entire interview tattooed onto my back.
The audio version of it or the transcript?
Braille.
The good thing is PJ's, he's got room.
I actually played Camel Toes back in 1989.
Sure.
Not a good... Who were you?
Yeah.
89, so you were opening for who, Dice?
Camel Toes with a Z. With a
were
Z,
you middling, were you middling for Dice at that time?
Yes, yes.
I was
before
I,
Dice was Dice.
I was middling for Bob Nelson at that time. Pete, give me a music one for you. Like you're not touching the album.
An artist who I will just turn away from no matter what they're doing or who with.
Yeah.
That's tough for me because I try to like everyone. You know that.
Yes.
It's kind of my thing. I'm not a hater. I try to accept all.
Okay.
There's got to be somebody.
There's got to be somebody. I would throw Vedder in that mix because I know you love Verses, but you hate everything else.
No, that's not true. That's not true. Actually, the thing that I hate most about Pearl Jam is how much you like them. Other than that, I'm really okay with the band.
I so knew that.
It's really you that throws me off. I don't get it.
Do you want to tell the story of me singing along in the back seat, or shall I?
I'll let you.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, no, I had to excoriate you because we were listening to Pearl Jam, and you thought that you were adding, I think, to the experience by harmonizing with every other line. And you were, like, so into it, and I was just, like, so out of it. And I finally had enough.
We were driving back from band rehearsal where I had taken a complete beating from BJ for being the lead singer with Bad Tone. By the way, we're about to lose the live feed in about 90 seconds, so Bobby Ben and everybody else listening live, thank you so much for tuning in. We are, of course, live at Blue Haven in New York City on the corner of Houston and Thompson. Probably the best place in New York to watch the Super Bowl. I'm just saying it. I'm throwing it out there. The staff here is magnificent. Megan, Dermot, Rory are all great. Thank you so much. Thank you for having us again. We're going to lose the live feed. We're going to keep going because, you know, who cares? But Michelle, thank you so much.
Again, check out www.bluehavennyc.com for all their specials. They also have all the European, the soccer, the rugby. They have all of that here. They have great food, great beers. And a special huge thanks to Jay Mafale from the Yayas. Go to wearetheyayas.com. That's WEAREYAYAS.com. We are the Yayas. They're going to be playing a festival up in New York this year. They play around all over the place. Gigs are on the page. They're a great little folk outfit. You guys are an outfit. It's cool. No, but seriously, Jay, we love you.
Thank you.
And we're going to continue into overtime. Send your questions to Real Time with Lamar. No, but we will see you next week. Say something, Cal.
Goodbye, everybody.
Right. Goodbye, live folks. We love you. So, continuing.
Ooh, I thought of one.
Ooh, my pants are down. Turned into Rodney Dangerfield there. Ooh, my arm. I think it's broken. All I was going to say was, driving back from a band rehearsal, I sang poorly at. PJ's driving. I'm in the back seat, somehow harmonizing to Pearl Jam. I can't help it. And PJ says very loudly with the rest of the band in the car, "You know, you singing along is not helping. You're not getting anything. In fact, it stinks." Yeah. I never sang Pearl Jam again. No. The thing is, Oprah, PJ hurt me. Okay, so
I have a reputation as a bit of a D.
Let's hear it.
Who don't I like?
Yeah, you said
you
had
one.
Yeah, Chick Corea. You know that jazz douchebag, Chick Corea? He puts like clothespins on the piano keys and stuff.
A douchebag. We're put together in the same sentence.
Just
segment.
Because we're not live anymore.
Right, we go
in. The rules are out the window.
We go after hours, and now all of a sudden Chick Corea's taking a beat?
I think Jazz Douchebag was going to open for Sister
Shakedown.
Sister Shakedown was there with Jazz Douchebag.
The other night, all right? The other night at Down the Hole, I saw Jazz Douchebag open up for Sister Shakedown. I mean, that's a show. All right?
Incredible.
You see Sharky there? Jeremy Sharky
the
was there?
In the front row? With
all right.
Cheetah.
All the Rangers. Messier was there. All right. Mess was there. He's awesome. Cheetah was there with his gift basket. Jazz douchebags.
I don't know
so...
if you saw. Did you see Bavaro there with a Shockey jersey on?
He was with McConkie.
It was mint.
He was with Phil McConkie.
All right. Listen, I got it for you guys. Wicked. All right, you own a studio, all right? And Adam Duritz walks in and wants to lay some tracks down. Do you tell him to leave?
Is it Adam Duritz or is it a dying cat?
We're closed.
That's actually, I'm just trying to be funny. I think Adam Duritz, you know, there's some Counting Crows stuff that I really enjoy.
I agree.
Don't like all of it. The music. But
I'm talking about Adam Duritz, the man
right.
who walks in.
Right.
I don't know him personally.
Right. That's where Jay puts in out to lunch.
We're all out of microphones.
See, but PJ and Jay have to be very careful here because they are both sound engineers.
There's a good chance Adam Durant.
There it is.
You've ruined everything.
There's
wow.
That you guys both may work with him someday. Like that's
long shot.
He doesn't subscribe to this podcast.
How do you know?
It's going to be when Adam Duritz is really on the way down. You know what I mean? I think that I'm going to work with people that are on the way up or really on their way down.
Maybe you'll get Vince Gill.
There it is. Have you seen the commercial with Eddie Money on it?
Right.
The Geico commercial? I recorded that. No.
Pete, you get to work with a lot of people at IMG and stuff. Like, you have to be careful making fun of Adam Duritz.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. There have been times where we've made fun of people here and not known that their agent was directly outside the door.
He's standing right behind me, isn't he?
Yeah.
Hi, Frank.
Right.
Peach, wrap this up. Button this for us. Can you? Well, let's do this. We have the four of us here. Let's do this. Let's go film, music, and sports. Okay, so give me your film and TV, your one person. Give me your top of the list, ruinous person. PJ, I'll start with you.
Okay. My top of the list, you're cutting out. I didn't hear you.
My cousin was just like, it's so simple. I have it written. She's like like on Password. Like she has
right.
it. She's like, well, no, Match Game. She is Nipsey Russell right now.
Okay, the absolute tops of my list for all forms of entertainment, which will just make me look the other way, even if it was like a talk show or something, is McConaughey.
Wow.
Oh, I can see that.
I have no time and no interest for that man.
Yeah. All right.
With or without his shirt.
Oh, please.
With or without the southern accent.
Well, please.
Okay. Let's do Jay.
Kevin Costner.
Wow.
I love this hesitation.
Said with a little bit of attitude.
Years for someone to ask him that. Anyone
does he owe you money?
Anyone who starts a Robin Hood movie starts it with an English accent and then drops it by the second or third scene because they just went, you know what, screw it, guys.
It's not working out for
just,
me.
Really, just do it with whatever that is that you do and not whatever that was that you were trying to do. So, yeah, as soon as Kevin Costner's name is above the title, I just
Jay,
flipped
him. Give me a quick impression of the director on Robin Hood after he watches the dailies on, like, day three talking to Costner.
Oh, my God, what did I get into? How do I tell this guy? Maybe we just drop the accent. You think anyone will even notice?
Hey, what's up?
Who's the guy?
What are you thinking about?
I'm going to take the money from the rich and
give it to the poor.
Is there a baseball in this film or anything? Because I usually...
PJ and I always had the... Kevin Costner does one thing in every movie. And we
accept act.
Right, but we had this thing about, like, he would say it, like, no matter what his profession... I'm a G-man, I'm a fish man. I'm Robin Hood, I'm a G-man. I'm a baseball.
I'm a woodsman, I'm an arrow man. I'm a quiet man, pushed too far.
He's always a man. I'm an outlander, pushed too far. Hey, what's your problem?
I just can't get on board with him.
I'm a golf man, I'm a post man. I'm a shave man.
I'm a G-man, I'm a caveman.
I'm a fish man.
I'm a fish man. All right, Michelle, let's have it. Who is it?
Okay, it's recent, and I'm probably at the... Lots of women love this guy. I can't stand him. I hate his face. Channing Tatum.
Wow.
His face.
Wow. He looks like a ferret.
Yes.
A handsome ferret, though.
No.
That's a ferret with a great body.
We're getting phone calls from ferrets. Hold on.
Jay, put those up. Let's take ferret in my mind, too.
I don't know why that would be a ferret's voice. I would imagine that to be a ferret's voice.
Definitely a ferret's voice.
I'm not sure.
Apparently I'm Larry King, too. Ferret on mine, too. Go. And tuck it. Go. You're here with Michelle,
you're
Jay,
on.
Brian, Steve, PJ, go.
We have a tweet from Ricky Ticky Tavi.
Tuesday, Salman Rushdie.
Not all ferrets and mongoose are alike.
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
Why?
We just watched him the other day.
Because
that...
you love him?
Listen.
You have a crush.
Let's not make it... Maybe. The other day we watched that movie with the Rachel McAdams movie there with the she gets in a coma.
Vow.
You watched that?
The Vow.
The Vow?
That's right.
You watched it. And you're like, this is the best movie that's ever been made.
I don't want to say we watched it.
Did you cry?
It was on.
You cried.
Maybe. A touch.
And you're like, I love him.
All I'm saying is when he was doing press for this movie, he said, I stink. Basically, he said, I stink, and I'm learning to act every day I'm out there, and I'm trying to be a good actor.
Yes, but there are good actors now who don't have
but
to
I
learn.
Like that, though.
No, I don't care. I don't
no, like no points for earnestness. That's terrible, Steve. What are you doing?
You know why? Because it brings me to my guy.
Who's your guy?
Who never tried to learn.
Okay.
Ashton Kutcher.
Oh,
they really strike him back.
I did that. I hate him too. He's my second.
But see, Channing Tatum could be this Ashton Kutcher guy, but he's trying. He understands that I got here because I look really nice. And I'm a hell of a dancer, by the way.
I don't.
Tremendous dancer.
I don't watch him in anything. I didn't see him in that, and I don't care.
Tremendous. He's in a movie.
You're not going to see the Steve Jobs movie then?
No.
See the Steve Jobs movie.
Wait, did you see him in Magic Mike? You watched Magic Mike?
No, I haven't seen Magic Mike yet.
Steve Jobs was in Magic Mike?
Well, he was a stripper. He was a male stripper for years.
Before he founded Apple.
I know way too much about Channing Tatum.
It's weird.
Channing Tatum, though, his first movie was a dance movie. It was like Step Up or Step Up 2
right.
Or Electric Boogaloo.
Sideways.
I don't know.
There's been 68 Step Up movies.
Right. He was in one or two. And that's how he broke in. He was a male model. He knows all this, and he's trying to be a good
male
actor.
You can tell me.
Ashton Kutcher never
to
gave a crap about being an actor.
I hate him too, but I'm not gonna like Channing Tatum.
I hate him so much.
Same.
Wait a minute. Did you see the butterfly effect though?
No,
and I never would. PJ.
I saw it too. Guilty.
Wow. Not don't say pleasure after that word. Don't you dare. Just say guilty of watching it.
Which ending did you hate more?
All of the above.
I don't know if that was just the DVD or whatever. There was more than one ending. you could watch. And
I don't know
if
they just crapped the bed on the DVD or if it like actually happened.
One was just worse than the other.
By the way, while the greatest
cows.
Hold on. Before we get the cows, well, I have a collection of people who would appreciate this. We're talking about alternate endings.
Oh, boy.
Can you think of another movie outside of Clue that did three other endings in one movie? In the theater. This was before DVD and everything. You just brought it up, alternate endings.
Wayne's World.
But Clue was before that. Clue was way before that. You're right. I asked for another movie that did it. You're right.
You're looking for something before Clue?
Just tremendous. Clue is a tremendous movie.
Of course it is. Yeah.
We just quoted it.
What's the other one? What's the other one you're talking about?
No, I'm saying that.
I thought you were looking for one.
I just wanted to bring up Clue with this group of people.
No, yeah, well, sure.
With PJ and Jay and Michelle and Cal.
One plus
we
two.
We thought it was a quiz.
Two plus one.
Instead, it was a conversation killer.
I had to stop screaming.
It was a conversation killer.
Except turning the sides of my face.
Are you throwing quotes? Is that what it is?
Heaving so deep.
Wow.
Hated. Flames. I miss Madeline Kahn. Okay, Cal.
Vin Diesel.
Nothing. Just threw it out there.
I don't like him.
Like it was a 2-0 fastball, and you just got it right down the middle of the plate, and you're like, that ball's out of here.
Do you believe his real name is Diesel?
Judges would have also accepted Rob Schneider. Vin Diesel is completely understandable.
Yeah, Rob Schneider, I hate him. He's so unfun. He is the most unfunny person who is trying to be funny.
You know what's upsetting? He's our guest next week.
Ooh. His manager standing right behind you.
Didn't mention we got an interruption.
My bad.
Yikes. Love it.
What about Chris Kattan? He tries pretty hard, too.
Who?
DJ?
Chris Kattan? Corky Romano?
He's three apples high. He's another one.
Has he even made a movie other than the one with the head nodding?
Night at the Rock.
Yeah, right. Sure. Has he made it a movie?
Think about this.
He was Corky Romano, and he was the bad guy in.
There it is. Come on.
The Eddie Griffin movie whose name I can't think of.
Total Recall.
The remake or the original one?
Oh, they remade that movie. Is that a true story?
I saw it.
About a future erased memory?
They did. Colin Farrell.
That's
playing
right.
The Arnold Schwarzenegger part.
Who was in the Judge Dredd remake?
You never saw his face. They put the Judge Dredd helmet on him. I just saw this the other night. They put the helmet on him.
Is that right?
And the entire movie, he never takes it off.
That's Rob Schneider?
I'm pretty sure it's Rob
Schneider. He's in the original Judge Dredd.
But he's
He's just a Cajun boy, though.
But he's got a sidekick who's a pretty blonde-haired girl who never wears the helmet because she's a psychic, and the helmet will get in the way of her psychic ability.
A sidekick or a psychic?
And her, both. I said both.
A psychic sidekick.
Psychic sidekick.
She has a psychic.
Psychic sidekick also opened for Sister Shakedown. They were a prog rock band.
You're going to be playing at Tickle Your Pickle in Burbank.
They're opening for Larry the Cable Guy.
They never opened for him. They middle.
Am I the only one that notices that Larry the Cable Guy's teeth are too perfect? What happened to him?
He's in
a Prilosec commercial.
You don't understand.
And his
though.
Teeth are brilliantly white and absolutely perfect.
He's not also a cable guy either.
It's all a lie.
Everything is a
facade. Here's the thing about Larry the Cable Guy. He's the voice of Mater, the truck and car.
Toe Mater?
And if you have a son who loves cars, you have everything with his name on it. So I have this kill rat in my house at all times. And one of the little... There he is.
Look at his teeth.
And Larry the Cable Guy and a Prilosec commercial just came on here in the bar at Blue Haven. There he is. Teeth are magnificent, PJ. Peach, they're magnificent.
They're blinding.
They're not real. We have a joke about the little Mater truck that Wesley has, which if you push the button, it quotes cars. And it says...
Why wouldn't it?
Right, and it says...
What else should it quote? Jaws?
I never leak oil, ever. And it's Larry the Cable Guy.
Is it really him, or is it that bad toy company
version of him? There are bad toy company versions of Lightning McQueen and Luke Wilson Owen Wilson and stuff, and Larry the Cable Guy. This is Larry the Cable Guy. I never leak oil, ever. So Teresa and I have decided there should be a Brooklyn version of that for Wesley.
Give it to me.
Where it's, I never leak oil. Ever. Right. The other little saying this car has is, look out, ladies, Mater's fitting to get funky. Right? From Cars 2.
I love that you have these memorized.
Well,
you have the inflection.
Well,
you've heard them 1,000 times. Sure.
Millions. Yeah. And nothing better than in the middle of the night. Hearing just it going off and like Wesley's nowhere near the car. And I hear, look out, ladies, Mater's fitting to get funky. And I'm like, who's touching? Why is the car by itself?
It's haunted.
Speaking. And that one is, listen, ladies. Mate is feeling good. All right?
Much creepier now.
Chaz It totally is Chaz Palminteri. It's totally like, listen, ladies, mate is feeling good. Okay?
If you don't reach over and unlock Mate's door, you dump her, you dump her fast.
You dump her fast.
What? Now you can't leave.
Now you can't leave.
Best scene in a movie in the last 20 years.
It's pretty good.
I mean, just really.
It's pretty good.
Pretty damn good.
It's pretty solid.
Because you're stupid.
Who did we leave off with? Who's?
I think we got everybody.
I think we got everybody. That's I think we should. Reason. Should we wrap it? Are you ready to wrap, kid?
I don't wrap.
I gotta go. This kid's been drinking Diet Coke all night. She's exhausted.
Everybody's getting their coat, Steve. Come on, wrap it up.
There's literally nobody left in this
room.
Is this
where we like you have to bring the kid around to say goodbye and
we
kiss everybody?
We started the goodbyes 20 minutes ago.
Right.
I got
cars
my coat
running.
On. I'm sweating. I got my coat on for 20 minutes. I'm holding.
Give the baby a kiss. Kiss the baby. Kiss the baby before you go.
Did you see Aunt Du? Did you kiss Aunt Du?
I don't know where our Tupperware is. Just leave it.
Yes, we'll see you soon. Yes. No, we'll do. Yes.
I don't need to take any food with me. I don't. Stop packing
food. All right.
Food. I'll give it back to you next time, only I'll put brownies in it for you.
Thing with my Aunt Dolly. My Aunt Dolly could not get off the phone, ever. Everybody has this Italian aunt with the can't get off the phone. And her and my grandmother would spend, like, the last 30 minutes of the conversation trying to... All right, doll, so long. Okay, Irene, kiss Mike for me. All right, take care. All right, so long, doll. All right, you're doing good. All right. No, we'll see you soon. And it's 25. So my brother and I do this now. Like when we're trying to get on the phone, like, all right, Scott. All right, so long. Kiss the kids. All right, I love you.
But that's different than the person that can't pick up on the cues that you want to get them off the phone.
Oh.
Okay, then.
All right.
All right. Good talking.
Tell stretching you about... and yawning.
You know what? All right. So I got a busy week. It's getting late.
Yep.
And
that's the
all right. The baby's crying. The baby's crying. Let me, before she kills me, let me go, yeah.
Just one more thing before you go. While you're doing that, do you remember? Remember when you left your Gladware at my house?
I got to go. You said it tickled my rib cage.
Next.